Glenn Brooks, and native healer Cloud Pyler for an hour of Native Health Radio and discover how sacred medicine can save modern life. Honest, direct, funny, informative, it's programming that makes you think. Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Now that we have advanced copies, correspondents like Mark Noller will be able to follow along and see if President Bush sticks to the script in tonight's State of the Union speech. Mark joins us live now from the White House.
Harley, appearing for the first time before a Democrat-controlled Congress, President Bush will offer his congratulations to the new majority. But he'll note it's not the first time there's been divided government, and will say we can work through our differences. On no issue are those differences more profound than on Iraq. Mr. Bush will defend the new strategy he announced 2 weeks ago, saying it provides the best chance for success. Though even some Republicans oppose sending more troops, Mr. Bush will say the consequences of failure would be grievous and far-reaching. Live at the White House, I'm Mark Noller, CBS News.
Senators heard from the new general to be in charge in Iraq at his confirmation hearing, General David Petraeus, saying the new strategy in Iraq really is new and different in ways that will make a difference.
It is not just that there will be additional forces in Baghdad. It is what they will do and how they will do it that is important.
Today, a private security firm's helicopter with five aboard crashed in Baghdad with the loss of all on board. Howard Hunt is dead, his place in history, Watergate. Former Congresswoman Elizabeth Holtzman looks back.
The fact that Howard Hunt's phone number was in the address book of some of the actual burglars of the Democratic National Headquarters at the Watergate Hotel was the key giveaway that began to link the White House to the break-in.
Howard Hunt was 88. You need a passport to come to the U.S. from now on from neighboring countries. No more, just a driver's license for entry.
I'm Dan Raviv in Washington. No surprise on the first day that passports were required to enter the U.S. on flights from Mexico, Canada, and the Caribbean. Even if you're a U.S. citizen, some passengers didn't know. Officials say, in general, the Americans were allowed in if they had other IDs, such as a driver's license, just this once. They were given a warning and an application form for a passport.
State Farm has settled out a court with hundreds of policyholders in Katrina Country, Mississippi. Company spokesman Fraser Engerman.
Under the settlement, policyholders who reside in the three counties will have an opportunity to share any additional information about their losses, have their claims reevaluated, and if they choose, have their claims resolved through binding arbitration.
The settlement comes less than 2 weeks after a Gulfport jury awarded $2.5 million in damages to a couple who'd sued State Farm for denying their claim. Delta Airlines workers, including the pilots, have a petition for Congress sent by way of the Georgia delegation. Georgia's senators joined hundreds of those workers at a rally in Washington today. Their message? They oppose any hostile takeover by U.S. Airways. On Wall Street, the Dow gained 56 points today. NASDAQ up just a fraction. Oil leaped by $2.48. $0.08 a barrel to $55.04. This is CBS News.
No doubt about it, the Internet is a great place to hang out. Like blogging, for example. I love to blog. Maybe too much, when I think of all the hours I blogged. Anyway, you've probably spent a lot of time on the Internet, too. Isn't it time the Internet paid you back? Just 15 minutes at GEICO.com could save you hundreds on car insurance. Now that's what I call payback.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
So where do you two keep the books for your contracting business?
It's all up in the old noggin.
Yep, all our sales figures are right in his head.
I see. Does that concern you?
Not at all.
Every waking moment.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
We need that.
Are you sure? I got it all right here.
I'm sure.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at CompUSA, OfficeMax, or Circuit City.
CBS's Barry Bagnato now on opening arguments in the perjury trial of Lewis Scooter Libby in the CIA blown cover case.
Tales are emerging showing Vice President Cheney had a broad damage control role after former Ambassador Joseph Wilson accused the Bush administration of manipulating Iraq war intelligence. Prosecutors described how he deputized Libby, his national security aide, to answer the media outcry, how Cheney helped him craft responses. And when the White House defended presidential advisor Karl Rove and Libby demanded equal treatment, Cheney wrote a note stating, quote, not going to protect one staffer and sacrifice the guy who was asked to stick his head in the meat grinder.
Let him eat. Let him eat pie. Today, at least.
You know that I love
it is National Pie Day. Nothing special to it.
Think about pie all day.
Just an excuse to enjoy a slice and think about the place the all-American pie holds in our culture.
Honey,
Harley Carnes, CBS News.
How are the tires on your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury? Is it time for new ones, or maybe just a rotation?
I can help. I got two strong arms. I can help.
No matter what your tire needs are, the smart choice is your Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealership. Right now, purchase four select Goodyear tires and get an iTunes gift card valued from $50 to $100 or a new iPod Nano. And that's not all. Bring in any competitor's current price ad on the name brand tires we sell within 30 days of purchase, and we'll beat that price. Genuine Ford parts, Ford trained technicians, low prices. We've got everything your vehicle needs to be at its best.
You need a hand, I can assure you this, I can help.
Genuine Ford and Lincoln Mercury parts and service. We're better, we're proving it, and we want you to be the judge. Hurry into your participating Ford or Lincoln Mercury dealer today. Call 1-800-310-3673 or see participating dealership through 31807.
Welcome to today's edition of the Peter B. Collins Show. Unscripted, unrehearsed, and from the left coast. Today's program is not live. It's what we call pre-recorded, or in the industry euphemism, the best of Peter B. Collins. You'll hear a couple of hours of recent programs, and then we'll set you up for tonight's State of the Union message. Now, what a sorry state it is. The reason today's program is not live is that yours truly's on an airplane flying to Washington, D.C. Tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, I'll be originating from various points in Washington. We'll get reaction to the President's State of the Union address, and we're also doing our best to hook up with some of the key contenders who've announced or maybe will announce for president in 2008. We're going to try to talk to Barack Obama, Senator Chris Dodd, Senator John Edwards, many others. We'll see what we can do while we're on the ground there inside the Beltway. On today's program, you'll hear Sherry Boschert in just a couple of minutes. She's written a book all about plug-in hybrid automobiles. We'll talk about how to reduce America's dependence on oil, including foreign oil. It was last year that the president announced that he finally discovered that America is addicted to oil. I wonder what stunning discoveries he'll have for us tonight. Next hour, a replay from last week. We'll update you on a recent media reform conference that was held in Memphis, Tennessee. Norman Solomon, media critic and activist, the author of War Made Easy, will kick off the hour and give us a recap of the event, some of the key issues that the activists are working on, including net neutrality and issues related to relaxing the ownership rules so that the people who own the corporate media can own more of the corporate media. That's what we're trying to resist right now. Also, Aldis Tyler spent that weekend in Memphis at the Media Reform Conference, and Aldis Tyler will check in the second half hour to talk about his efforts to preserve progressive talk stations around the country. He's got the website nonstopradio.com if you want to do a little advance work. And coming up in our third and final hour today, a preview of tonight's State of the Union address from President George W. Bush, originating from the Center for American Progress. Christy Harvey and Grant Ginder will be co-anchoring this special broadcast. And among their guests is John Podesta, who is one of the White House chiefs of staff during the Clinton administration and now heads up the Center for American Progress. So that's what's ahead. We'll talk about plug-in hybrids, media reform, and then a preview of the State of the Union message. It's all ahead today, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. What are you using to power your vehicle, huh?
My automobile. My baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile. My curiosity running wild. Cruising and playing the radio. With no particular place to go. Riding along in my automobile.
Now, what if your automobile happened to be a plug-in hybrid? You could be enjoying a comfortable ride, a very quiet engine, and up to 100 miles per gallon in gasoline mileage. Sherry Boschard has written a powerful new book called Plug-in Hybrids, subtitled The Cars That Will Recharge America, and she joins us at our secret Peter B. Collins studio this afternoon. Sherry, welcome.
Hi, Peter.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
What are you driving?
Well, I drove here in my all-electric Toyota RAV4 EV. It's a compact SUV. Looks just like the gas model, except there's no gas, no engine, no tailpipe. It's all electric.
And did you replace the innards to make it an all-electric car? Because to my knowledge, they're not sold that way by Toyota.
Well, that's correct. No, this was made by Toyota. Actually, all of the car companies in the last decade made all-electric cars. The thing is, most of them only lease them. They did it under protest in response to California clean air regulations. And if any of your listeners have seen the movie Who Killed the Electric Car, then they've seen this whole story, which makes up the first chapter of my book.
Mm-hmm.
Toyota, to its credit, that had a brief window where they actually sold a few hundred of these. And they had two kinds of leases, and at the end of the personal lease, you had the option to buy. So there's still about 800 all-electric RAV4s on the road. But all the other cars, the General Motors EV1, the Honda EV Plus, lots of Toyota RAV4s, other cars were taken back and crushed by the car companies when they got rid of the clean air laws.
And let's start there, because you profile a woman named Chelsea who was hired by General Motors to be an evangelist for the EV1. And at a certain point after she got laid off, she held a mock funeral for her electric car. I have not seen the documentary, and maybe some of our listeners haven't as well. Why was the electric car killed?
Well, it's a complex question and answer, which is why they had to make a whole movie out of it. It is now out on DVD and is also available for purchase, as well as my book, on pluginamerica.com. But the movie frames it in an entertaining way as a murder mystery, and the suspects that they look at in terms of why did we lose the electric cars include the big auto companies, the big oil companies. Were the batteries not good enough? Did consumers not want them? Did clean air regulators back down? Were people just diverted by the hype around hydrogen? And they look at each of these one by one, and at the end of the movie give guilty and innocent verdicts. You can decide for yourself. It's really a combination of all of those. It was in 1990 at the Los Angeles Auto Show that General Motors first showed a prototype plug-in car, the all-electric EV1. And state air regulators in California said, oh, you can make a zero-emission vehicle? Now you have to make a zero-emission vehicle, and so do all the other car companies, if you want to sell your cars in our state. And they didn't like being told what to do, of course, so they immediately fought it. And there was a 13-year tug-of-war over how many they'd have to make, would they have to make them. They started putting them out on the road while they sued the state to get rid of the regulations, et cetera.
Do you think if CARB, the California Air Resources Board, had instead mandated that they could not produce an electric car, that that would have irritated them enough that they actually would have done it?
I don't know.
Because Detroit mainly doesn't like to be told what to do, and they have a lot of power. They play the jobs card at the drop of of a hat. And they have resisted both Democratic and Republican administrations over the years in trying to raise the fuel mileage fleet standards.
Well, they have, but it doesn't mean that we should stop moving them towards the right direction. At the end of the movie, there's a great quote that I love by S. David Freeman, who was an energy official in the Carter administration. And he's now president of the Los Angeles Board of Harbor Commissioners.
Mm-hmm.
And he's this nice southern gentleman with a great southern drawl.
Yeah, he played a role in the energy crisis here in California. Gray Davis.
Yes.
Handed off a lot of the dirty laundry to him.
Yes, and he gives good historical perspective when he says, the oil industry and the auto companies are resistant to change. The American people need to be reminded that it took a law to get seatbelts in the cars. It took a law to get airbags in the cars. It took a law to get the mileage up from 12 to 20 miles per gallon. It took a law to get catalytic converters to control the pollution. I think clean cars are too important to be left to the automobile industry. And that kind of says it all in terms of plug-in cars.
Mm-hmm. You can go ahead and silence your BlackBerry there. Well, and I love the way you read that quote with a little bit of a southern drawl just to access David Freeman for us. That was nice. But the point is well taken, that all of the things that we now consider standard or, you know, important to our safety or comfort in a car, many of them were resisted by Detroit when first suggested or imposed.
And so when people ask me for my shorthand answer of, you know, why did they crush the electric cars? Why didn't they sell them to us? Why don't we have them today? My synopsis of it comes down to, I think it was just sort of basic capitalist inertia. If you can just keep doing what you're doing and make money at it, why put any money into investing in a new technology unless either A, you have to because of government mandates, or B, you're really convinced that one of your competitors is going to do it and you need to beat them to it because there's a market out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the U.S. car companies ever really saw that market in the way that some of the Japanese companies did, and certainly the market that exists now since 9/11 and global warming and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of my listeners take a more cynical view and would suggest that this is just part of the rapacious greed and control needs of the auto industry, and that they know that their money is going to be made on gas-fired vehicles for the foreseeable future, and they wanted to stamp it out because they didn't want to be competing with themselves.
Well, that's what Chelsea Sexton likes to say. You know, one of the factors is if you have in your showroom two cars, and one of them is an all-electric, and you tell your customers, you don't use gasoline over the life of the car. You'll save money. It's cleaner.
Some like 70% fewer moving parts?
70% fewer moving parts. It runs on electricity, which is made in the U.S. of A., not a foreign country. Oh, and over here we have our other product, which is more expensive, dirtier, and dependent on oil. So which one would you like to buy?
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard tightrope for them to walk.
Yeah. We're going to take a break and continue with Sherry Boschert, B-O-S-C-H-E-R-T, for our listeners in Phoenix. It happens that she's going to be in Scottsdale this weekend. We'll give you the details coming up. And if you are currently a hybrid or electric vehicle owner and you'd like to call and talk about your experience, I want you to call. If you are thinking about getting into this kind of a vehicle, give us a call. We'll help you as much as we can. And if you have any other questions about the technology, about the politics of it, we'd love to hear from you. Lines open for you right now at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Oh, we already played that one. Chuck, get out of here. This hour, you'll be hearing tunes from the Peter B. Collins tax-deductible music archives with car themes. More in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares. The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family.
Just arrived. Carmel, a treasure. A first combination calendar, history book with souvenir maps, archiving Carmel today. Entirely rendered in watercolors by Lisa Bryan, this brilliant calendar and book combo captures the charm of Carmel. A special gift, now available at Lisa's studio in Court of the Fountains and other bookstores and gift shops in Carmel. For more information, call Lisa Bryan at 626-5435, 626-5435.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Locally owned, the Ugly Mug Coffee House in SoCal Village. Always lively, always wired. We serve the best organic, shade-grown coffees, loose-leaf teas, original bar drinks, and delectable goodies in a friendly community atmosphere. Open every day, 6 a.m. till 9 p.m., complete with music, Wi-Fi, and the craziest regulars in Santa Cruz. Meet your friends or just bring yourself to the Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive at Porter Street, for lively conversations and the best cappuccino in town. Hey, what do you want? Rare frickin' sunshine? Delicious.
The Ugly Mug, SoCal Drive and Porter Street in SoCal.
Allen Show, fasten that seatbelt. We want you to survive the trip through Dead Man's Curve. So far, I haven't heard that there is a Corvette hybrid. I'm sure they're working on it in Detroit right now. Sherry Boschert is our guest. Her new book is Plug-in Hybrids, The Cars That Will Recharge America. And Sherry, you've done a great job here because it's technical enough to explain to me how the different hybrid systems work, but not so technical that people would think that it's a scientific or even a popular science level of complexity. And you're clearly passionate about this subject, and yet you're not too stuffy or serious about it. I mean, I like the tone of that. What was your first contact with a non-gasoline or a vehicle consuming less gasoline?
Well, in 1998, when I first bought a house, was lucky enough to buy a house, I started putting in solar panels. And once you're making electricity from the sun, it's a natural step to think, gee, wouldn't it be great to have an electric car? I wonder if there's any out there. So I began looking around, and this was during the whole period when the car companies were putting them on the road in response to the state mandates in California. And in the early
they were leasing them, though. They wouldn't actually sell them to people, which suggests control on Detroit's part.
Yeah, they didn't really want us to have them. They were fighting the state over these regulations. So I managed to lease a little Ford Think city car, which was made in Norway. They bought the Norwegian company that makes it. And it was perfect in San Francisco. It was tiny. It was a two-seater hatchback. And it was small enough I could park it anywhere in the city. You know those little curbs in between driveways where no one can park?
Right.
I could park there. That's a big bonus in the city.
Mm-hmm.
And it went maybe, you know, up to 55 miles before I needed to charge it in, but it was meant to be just a city car.
Mm-hmm.
After a three-year lease, they took it back when all the car companies were taking them back and crushing them, and that just made me so angry. And thousands of other people, too, whose cars were being repossessed.
Mm-hmm.
So we started protesting. I mean, you mentioned Chelsea Sexton earlier, who was in Who Killed the Electric Car? People in L.A., including Chelsea, held mock funerals. We had some mock funerals up here. But it wasn't until a man named Mark Geller, a San Franciscan, hooked up with Rainforest Action Network, Global Exchange, and Greenpeace. And we coordinated a mock funeral for the Thinks here in San Francisco with a takeover of the Ford building in Norway, where the cars were made. And we basically said, this is not right. You shouldn't crush these Thinks. And Ford got such bad publicity over that that 8 days later they said, okay, we'll stop crushing them. We'll send them back to Norway where people have waiting lists to buy them.
Yeah. I got a chance to test ride the Think bike that Ford was making using some of the same battery and rechargeable battery technology. And it was really cool. It was like a bicycle with flubber, if you remember those Disney movies from the early 60s. And, you know, each time I'd do a rotation on the pedal, you'd get almost twice as much torque out of it. Downside was the batteries didn't last very long, especially when you were climbing hills. But it was an interesting technology, and just as I got excited about it, they took it off the market. And, again, to close the loop here, is it true that Chevron Texaco now controls some of the most potent batteries and refuses to sell them in small quantities?
No one really. Well, the first answer to the first part of that question is yes.
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate answer, you know, do they refuse to let people have them? No one can say for sure except Chevron Texaco and I think the major car companies. I mean, anyone who's been paying attention to cars this week has heard that at the Detroit Auto Show on Sunday, General Motors unveiled
The Chevy Volt,
the first major automaker plug-in hybrid. It's not for sale yet because they say, you know, we're going to sell it in a few years when the batteries are ready, when the lithium-ion batteries are ready. Well, to me, that's just another excuse to delay giving us these cars, because nickel metal hydride batteries that were in all the electric cars that are in my electric car now would be perfectly fine for plug-in hybrids. But the patent on the nickel metal hydride batteries is owned jointly by the company that invented the batteries and Chevron Texaco. And the joint company, which is called Cobasys, the only thing they will say is it's not worth their while to sell a few batteries. If they get a major order that coincidentally only a major car company could give them, then they will produce the batteries. So only the car companies can call their bluff.
Yeah. That one doesn't smell so good.
No. and hence all the interest in lithium ion, because no one controls the patent on that. There are many different lithium chemistries in batteries.
Now, with your plug-in car, can you plug in anywhere? You didn't ask me for power here.
No, I didn't ask you for power. I can plug into any 220-volt plug, which is like a dryer plug.
Right.
In California, there are hundreds of public charging stations. There's one here at the Larkspur Ferry.
Mm-hmm.
There's one at an outlet mall near here.
Mm-hmm.
There are a bunch in garages in San Francisco. My car can go 125 miles before I need to plug it in.
Yeah.
And that commonly leads to 200-mile days, because I can drive up to Santa Rosa or down to Santa Cruz 100 miles away park, plug in, and by the time I'm done doing whatever I'm doing, the car has enough juice to go home or to the next spot.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great car.
We're going to take a break and continue. We'll go to the phones in the next segment if you have a question or comment about hybrid cars, about plug-in hybrids, about how to reduce your own dependency on petrol products. We'd love to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number. Also, Phoenix listeners, heads up, in the next segment we'll tell you about Sherry Boschert's appearance in Scottsdale coming up this Saturday. It's all ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and native healer Cloud Pyler for an hour of Native Health Radio and discover how sacred medicine can save modern life. Honest, direct, funny, informative, it's programming that makes you think. Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Hi, this is Scott Dick, your host of the Tasty Planet Radio Show. Every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview authors, chefs, winemakers, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 4 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
Every Sunday morning at 10, listen to Rock Roller Real Estate. The number one Sunday morning Bay Area real estate show is now on KRXA 540.
If you want to learn about investing, 1031 exchanges, buying and selling high-end homes, and where the hottest real estate markets are, this is the show for you. Rock Roller Real Estate, the Bay Area's number one Sunday morning real estate show, now covering the Central Coast. For more information on how to become a guest, call 408-892-3376. Rock Roller Real Estate.
There's more than one side to every issue. Actually, there's usually more than two sides. It's important to get a different perspective on issues and current events, and that's what we'll provide you on Thursday nights at 10 on KRXA 540. Our show is called, appropriately enough, A Different Perspective. I'm Jack Quirk, and I'm your host. I have guests with a unique angle on current issues. I'm often joined by Phil Ropp and other guest co-hosts who bring their own expertise to our discussions. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for A Different Perspective here on KRXA 540.
Stop driving that hot rod Lincoln.
We're talking about you and your automobile friends here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and the Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up. That Model A body makes it look like a pup. It's got 8 cylinders and uses them all. It's got overdrive, just won't stall. With a 4-barrel car when you do it exhaust, with 411 gears you can really get lost. Got safety tubes, but I ain't scared. The brakes are good, tires fair. Pulled out of San Pedro late one night. The moon and the stars were shining bright. We was driving up Grapevine Hill, passing cars like they was standing still.
That's Commander Cody and the Lost Planet Airmen, the Hot Rod Lincoln. We're talking about plug-in hybrid vehicles, and in a moment we're going to pause to explain the different types of hybrids and exactly what a plug-in hybrid is. But John in Carmel Valley called, and he's been on hold, and I'm not going to keep him waiting any longer. Hello, John.
Peter, I want to mention something that I use all the time in Salinas, where I don't live, but it's a rather typical town full of stoplights, every type from badly timed lights that will stay against traffic flow when nobody, not even a pedestrian, goes through, to very well timed based on the lights being according to what the traffic flow is. This is a huge problem to where we need more synchronization of lights, but the biggest problem isn't that. It's that nobody, I am one of the rare exceptions, I do this and drive a lot of people crazy by doing it. I look ahead, see what the lights are up to, and I time my speeds as much as I can. And I have found over years of doing this that I improve my odds of whether I have to stop or not, because the whole goal is to not have to stop.
Right.
I figured it's about 65% improved odds. And God knows how much. I haven't figured out how much I actually say, but I know it's a lot.
Now, John,
yeah.
John, do you know that there's a name for this condition?
Craziness is what the public thinks of it.
No, you are a hypermiler. Sherry, you familiar with that term?
No, I haven't heard it.
Fascinating article in the new issue of Mother Jones magazine by Dennis Gaffney, and he profiles some people who have a real obsession with getting maximum mileage from both hybrids and gas-fired vehicles. And this one guy does what he calls the DFAS, draft-assisted forced auto stop. He gets behind an 18-wheeler and turns off his motor and drafts behind him as far as he can. He also does very high-speed turns because he is convinced that braking increases his mileage. And like you, he is obsessed with not stopping for a traffic light if he can possibly avoid it.
Well, and I think that's an obsession that more and more people are going to have, because I've seen it happen in anyone who drives an electric vehicle and even people who are driving the hybrids now, because they get to drive a little bit on electricity. When you do, you become much more conscious of the energy you use and you start trying to game it.
Mm-hmm.
And electric vehicle drivers are really good at seeing how far can I coast. EVs are built to coast really well.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Uh-huh. John, pick up Mother Jones and you'll enjoy that article.
Well, it isn't just, but it isn't just the gas savings. City traffic is dynamite because the stopping and the starting and all the drag of gravity and the restarting of the from zero of an engine, engines don't like that. Transmissions don't like that. The braking,
it's also more polluting, yeah.
It's all just so crazy. What appalls me is being profligate is in hugely. We have to switch the whole mindset from thinking it's smart to waste everything. Waste your gas mileage, waste your tire, brake, transmission, you name it, engine wear, and turn that around and make it so it's clearly smart to the average driver, because a lot of people aren't going to do this for global warming. But selfish motive is probably more of a prompter than that.
John, I thought profligacy was a form of safe sex. Thanks for your...
If we could somehow tie that in, that would be great, too.
Thanks for your call today. George in McKinleyville, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. How you doing?
Okay, thanks.
Hey, I've got a question for Sherry. I try to keep up on these things and with battery development, and I wonder if she's heard of companies. I'm sure she has the Altair NanoSafe batteries, and Firefly has a carbon foam battery in development, and there's a company called Double E Store that's supposed to have a new battery out.
And you didn't mention A123. There's another one.
A123, right, but they're out selling, true. They're comparable to the Altair.
Ladies and gentlemen, they're talking in code. What does all this mean, Sherry? Are these different types of batteries or just different brands?
These are different battery companies that put out different kinds of brand new batteries, and these are all so new, it's hard to tell really which ones are going to pan out at this point. There's a saying in the electric vehicle world and the battery industry, there's liars, there's damn liars, and then there's battery salesmen. My gut check, and I don't have anything to base this on, really, just all of the hype coming out of Altair Nano just
right.
makes me uneasy. Anyone who hypes it that much, there's got to be something a little weird in that. A123, I think, looks good. It's coming out of MIT. So far, it seems to make sense, but again, we need experience with it. Firefly, the new lead-acid technology, is actually very exciting because that would be really inexpensive.
Yeah, they said a fifth of the price of lithium batteries.
Right, and EE Store has held their cards so close to their chest, no one really has a sense.
What about weight and size?
Well, again, it depends on the different chemistries. With the lead acid, like in Firefly or regular lead acid, they're going to be heavier and they're going to store less energy. But they'll be less expensive and they'll have lots of applications if you don't need a long distance.
Mm-hmm.
I would say keep your eye on A123, and I'm just dying to hear something from EE Store, when they're ready to make an announcement.
Now, what about the landfills are filling up with discarded cell phone batteries? Any way we could just, fuse a bunch of those together and turn them into a usable cell?
Well, it's not a bad idea. Most batteries are recycled. More than 98% of lead-acid batteries, the kind that are in every car in America, are recycled. The ones that aren't is because people don't bring them in. The newer batteries, like nickel metal hydride or lithium, will have valuable components in them. And there's already nickel metal hydride in hybrid cars and elsewhere. There are recycling systems set up. And batteries that, large size batteries that are beyond their useful life for their first application still have other applications. They use used batteries to power, some street lights and other things. So there's uses.
All right. George, anything else?
Yeah, I want to say I do agree with Sherry about using the nickel metal hydride batteries in that new GM proposed car, the Volt.
The Volt, yeah. Why not? Come on, bring it on. We're ready.
Yeah, I think, why not? Right, exactly. The technology's here. Let's just get it on the road.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't let perfect be the enemy of the good.
All right, thank you, George. Now to Deborah in Phoenix, thanks for your call. You're on the air with Peter B. and Sherry Boschert.
Hi, I've got two questions for Sherry. My first question, I was thinking as you described in your car, you drive from place to place and plug in. Has anybody invented a mobile plug-in station, or is that even possible to do?
You mean with a generator?
Yeah. I mean, if you've got a situation where you couldn't make it to the next place and you ran out of power.
Well, that is exactly what a plug-in hybrid is. Because what we were talking about earlier is my all-electric car, where after a certain point, I'm out of electricity. I have to stop and plug into the grid somewhere. But with a plug-in hybrid, you have a backup generator, a backup gasoline tank, a backup something. So when you run out of electricity, you can turn on that engine and either run the car on gasoline or use that gasoline or ethanol or biodiesel to recharge the batteries.
That's your backup system.
Exactly. The Chevy Volt that GM unveiled on Sunday, it can go 40 miles on electricity, and when you run out of electricity, the generator comes on and recharges the batteries. The total distance the car can go is about 560 miles.
Oh, wow.
Just one sec, Deborah. I wanted to interject. Doesn't some of this approach perpetual motion machines, and isn't that impossible? That's what I was told when I was 10, and I tried to develop one of my own.
Yeah, even with these cars, after a point, you have to stop and get some new fuel in there some way, whether it's electricity or the gasoline or biodiesel or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
People ask me all the time, too, well, why don't we put a solar panel on the car? Wouldn't that do it? Well, it would look nice, but it would really only provide enough charge for, say, your auxiliary battery. It couldn't run the car.
All right. Deborah, go ahead.
Now, my second question is, a couple years ago, and I think it was a dealer who told me this, because I live in Phoenix, and I was interested in the Toyota Prius. And he said, oh, that's not good for Phoenix, because in the summer, when it gets so hot, when you stop, and you have to, you run the air conditioner, and you use gasoline to do that. So you're really not getting the full benefit. Is that true?
What car was this again? Was
the Prius.
Oh, the Prius.
Uh-huh.
Right, the hybrid. Yeah,
right.
Cars like the Prius and other hybrids are the best, most efficient cars out there, but they are dependent on gasoline. And so the way the car is designed is this interplay where they use some electrical components to kind of boost the performance of the gas car. But you can't run it without gasoline. It mostly runs on gasoline.
So if you're in a place that the temperatures are real hot, like in the summer, and your air conditioner is really working hard and running constantly, is that going to be less cost-effective than in a city with a more moderate temperature?
With the regular hybrid, I don't know. To be honest, I'm not an expert on the gas cars. In a plug-in hybrid, it changes the scenario. You have a lot more electricity to run on. And in a hybrid like the Prius, you can drive maybe 1 kilometer on electricity before it has to use gasoline. With a plug-in hybrid, you'll have at least 40 miles of electricity. It's a whole different scenario.
Well, Deborah, this is going to be up in about a year, and I just really want to get some kind of fuel-efficient car.
Deborah, 2 points. One is pick up Mother Jones. Read this Hypermiler article. One of the things this guy does is in the summer he wears a frozen vest. He puts his vest, it's got water pockets in it, he puts it in the freezer, and then he gets in his unair-conditioned car and drives around with it on.
Yeah, so, well, in 115-degree temperatures, that'll last about 3 blocks.
Right, and leave a puddle.
Yeah, right.
Deborah, why don't you hang on? Matt will get your address, and may we send you a copy of Sherry's book?
Sure.
All right, we'll do that. It's called Plug-in Hybrids, and we'll put one in the mail to you.
Okay.
All right, hold on. And by the way, to George and John, I meant to offer you guys a book, and I forgot. So if you want one, call back, and Matt will get your address, and we'll set you up with one. Let's go to Mike in Coos Bay, Oregon next. Hello, Mike. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. This is Mike calling from the North Bend of Coos Bay. And in regard to an electric car, you know, on one level, it makes an awful lot of sense to me to have a plug-in hybrid in a big city like San Francisco or Phoenix. But, you know, the big question is, where is the electricity going to come from? Because if it comes from a coal plant or a nuclear plant, I wonder if we're really saving anything over what we're currently doing with gasoline.
Mike, I don't want to offend you here, but can you repeat after me? Nuclear.
Nuclear.
Thank you.
Mike, I am so glad you asked this question because it's the question that I researched the most heavily for my book because I'm a greenie environmentalist at heart, and I wanted to be sure I was doing the right thing. So I collected every study, every analysis I could find on what's called well-to-wheels emissions, not just emissions from the car because electric cars don't have a tailpipe, but the power plants or making the gasoline. I mean, because gasoline just doesn't come out of nowhere either. And what I found, I put in Chapter 7 of my book in an easy-to-read format, but it's also up on my website, sherrybosher.com, where I list all the studies. And I feel very comfortable in saying that even on the current U.S. grid, which is more than 50% coal, ugly, dirty coal, it is way cleaner to drive a plug-in car, whether it's a plug-in hybrid or all-electric. And we do need to clean up the grid further, like we need to clean up cars, but the two will work hand in hand to do that. We're putting in more solar and more wind. The grid gets cleaner. Gasoline just gets dirtier over time.
You could also make the case that however polluted it is, the electrical generation is already there. And your gasoline car adds to emissions where plugging into the grid is at minimum neutral.
And the other thing is, it's a lot easier to regulate emissions from a few thousand power plants than from over 200 million car tailpipes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Would you like a copy of the book?
Sure.
All right. Hold on. Hold on.
I want to confess that I became a hypermiler.
Oh,
all
you're
right.
One of those.
When I got a Honda Insight, and the thing that may be a hypermiler is this gas mileage computer that's right on board.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if that was available in all the cars, it might make a difference for a lot of people with
Yeah, I gotcha. It also might cause more accidents because people watch it all the time.
Michael, that's true.
Hold on. We'll get your address. Send
you
a book. Thanks for calling into the program today. More of your calls coming up in just a moment for Sherry Boschert, not Boschert. You can call us toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Sunday morning at 10 Pacific, join Glenn Plantone, our own Indiana Jones. He'll be our guest on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate. Glenn is a real estate investor who knows how to buy ahead of the curve with hot spots and great opportunities in North and South Carolina, as well as Costa Rica. Can you say mucho gusto? Give him a call at 702-769-9872. That's 702-769-9872. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, Sunday morning at 10 Pacific, right here.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Proof you can get a pink Cadillac, but can you get a green Cadillac? Sherry Boschert is with us. Plug-in Hybrids, the cars that will recharge America, is the name of her brand new book. And to my knowledge, Cadillac's not producing a hybrid, are they?
No, not that I know of, not yet.
Yeah. Now, you're going to be in Scottsdale. Why don't you give our Phoenix area listeners a rundown? This Saturday night at 7 o'clock, you're going to be speaking, and this is at the Granite Reef Senior Center. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. It's Scottsdale's new LEED building. It's their green building.
Mm-hmm.
And your subject will be?
Plug-in hybrid. And for those of you in Phoenix, that's at 1700 North Granite Reef Road. It'll be hosted by the local Electric Auto Association.
All right, and that's 7 p.m. Saturday in Scottsdale. I hope some of our listeners will stop by and let Sherry know you heard about it here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Got more callers here, but before we go to them, I wanted to ask you just for a brief description, because in your book you lay it out here very clearly, the difference between a hybrid electric vehicle, an HEV, a PHEV, which is a plug-in hybrid electric vehicle, or a pure battery electric vehicle, a BEV.
Okay. Let's start with the electric vehicle, because that's the simplest.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have a gas engine. It just runs on batteries, an electric motor, a controller, and a charger. So you have the batteries that put electricity in there to the electric motor that turns the wheels. The hybrid electric vehicle is basically a gas car that borrowed some of those electrical components. So it has a few little bitty batteries. It does have an electric motor. But it mostly runs on gasoline. You cannot run a hybrid car without gasoline.
Right.
Now, the plug-in hybrid combines the two. It runs ideally initially on electricity, but then when you run out of electricity, you've got that insurance policy of the gas tank as a backup to let you go further.
Mm-hmm.
There's different kinds. You know, there's blended ones where they kind of work together all the time, or there's series ones like the new Chevy Volt that was unveiled that runs on electricity and just uses the gas to recharge the batteries.
Mm-hmm.
So different flavors of those, but the plug-in hybrid is the combination of the two.
All right. And currently, are there manufactured plug-in hybrids, or are most people converting them in the so-called aftermarket?
Well, there's no one actually making a plug-in hybrid right now. What people have seen perhaps in the media are activists that have done it themselves.
Yeah.
Here in Pelosi country in Corte Madera, in Ron Gremman's garage, a non-profit group called CalCars at calcars.org did the first public conversion of a Prius to a plug-in Prius.
Mm-hmm.
It has simple bicycle lead-acid batteries, and it gets over 100 miles per gallon.
Wow.
And so there's about 20 of those in the world right now, done as demonstrations for fleets and cities, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But we're waiting for the car companies, and with General Motors unveiling the Volt, that's the starting gun. And I would encourage anyone who's thinking of buying a new car within the next few years, hold off. Go to pluginamerica.com. You'll find the phone numbers for the major car companies. Call them up and say, I want a car with a plug on it.
Mm-hmm.
I want a car that gets 100 miles per gallon, and I'm not going to buy one until you give me one.
Here's Scott, our contributor, who will be on with us very soon. He joins us today from Carmel. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
Doing well.
Hey, Peter. She said 220, the magic voltage, when she was talking about how she recharges her batteries.
Right.
After living in Europe for 12 years, I love T20. It's a lot more efficient, water boils quicker. And in America, the T20 plug, I converted a couple plugs over to operate my T20 appliances I brought back from Europe, and it's not rocket science. And the T20 plugs has 110 coming out of each side, and then there's a ground. So any electrician in about an hour could run a T20 plug to anywhere that a person wanted to plug their car into. So people shouldn't be intimidated when she said 220 or 240. It's not a big deal.
And, mm-hmm. and it's interesting you brought that up because, again, we were talking about my all-electric car. The all-electrics use 220 because it charges faster than a 120. But the plug-in hybrids are going to be designed, I think, initially to run on a regular 110-volt wall socket like you can find anywhere. Because the whole idea with the plug-in hybrids is you never have to think about where you're going to plug in. You just get home at night, plug it into your regular wall socket, and it charges while you sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So for convenience, that's going to be the next wave, I think.
And Peter, just let me jump in one more thing that I
yeah.
cut off is that anybody who lives in Alaska knows that if you go to Anchorage, every establishment everywhere has a plug-in, so people can plug their block heaters in.
Yeah, in parking mm-hmm. lots everywhere.
Yeah. All right, Scott, thank you. I appreciate that.
Welcome.
Demystifying 220. Now to Sherry in Phoenix. Got just a minute, Sherry. Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just calling in response to the previous caller from Phoenix who had a dealer who talked her out of buying a hybrid because of the use of air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one. We've had it for about a year, and our mileage is identical in the summer and in the winter.
Really?
So.
And so when you're stalled at a light, does the gas engine go off and does the air conditioning stay on?
Yeah, it stays on. We didn't have a problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
And we use the air conditioning probably 9 months out of the year
yeah.
in the car.
Okay. Well, Sherry, I wish I had more time. Did you want a copy of the book?
Sure.
Okay, hold on. We'll get your address and mail it to you. Thanks for your call here. Sherry Bosher, thank you for joining us. Plug-in Hybrids is the book, The Cars That Will Recharge America. As we mentioned, she's appearing this Saturday night, 7 p.m. in Scottsdale at the Granite Reef Senior Center. And it's a real pleasure to meet you. I'll see you on the road.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, Sherry. That concludes this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. Thank you for joining us. And if you would like to log on to our website, peterbcollins.com, that's where you can find a link to our archive programs and get more information.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The State of the Union.
A Republican president appears before a Democratic Congress. I'm Mark Knoller at the White House.
The new Iraq strategy, according to the general who'll lead it.
None of this will be rapid. In fact, the way ahead will be neither quick nor easy, and there undoubtedly will be tough days.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush goes before Congress and the American people in 2 hours. With an unpopular war, abysmal poll numbers, and Democrats in control of the House and Senate, the question is whether he can be relevant for his final 2 years in office. Our live coverage begins with CBS News correspondent Mark Knoller.
All too aware of the opposition to his new strategy on Iraq, President Bush will offer a strong defense of his plan to send more troops, calling it the best chance of success. He'll warn critics of his policy that the consequences of failure would be grievous and far-reaching. On the domestic front, he'll offer a new initiative to break America's addiction to oil. He'll call for a 20% reduction in the U.S. consumption of gasoline by the year 2017. He'll also put forward a plan to help those without health insurance get it, but it calls for a tax hike on those with plans deemed overly generous. Live at the White House, I'm Mark Knoller, CBS News.
I'm Bob Foss, live on Capitol Hill, where for the first time, President Bush will be delivering his State of the Union speech to a Congress run by the Democrats. He'll be introduced by House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who will be sitting right behind him as he faces a Congress in which even many of the Republicans oppose sending more troops to Iraq. It will be a tough crowd and tough, too, for the president to get attention to the host of domestic initiatives he will propose tonight when the Iraq issue is so dominant in Congress and among the public. Live on Capitol Hill, Bob Foss, CBS News.
Now this. Buying a used car can be filled with pitfalls, but there's one sure way to avoid stumbling. Buy a Honda-certified used car. Only well-maintained late-model Hondas are eligible. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus, now, you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Feeling a little more sure-footed, aren't we? Honda-certified used cars. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Hey,
I'm here with the Tuttles from TLC's American Chopper.
Hey, this is Mike.
Paul Sr.
Paul Jr.
So, hey, Polly, I hear you're gearing up for a new season now on TLC, the Learning Channel.
What was,
and
what
he asked me a question.
Why do you do stupid things like that?
Hey, can you tell me about the new network, TLC?
I know who does more.
What about the new shop?
I think you're delusional.
You're an idiot.
And I'd like to thank everybody.
Shut up, Mike.
Okay, hey, all right, guys, thanks for coming in. Hey, everybody, don't forget, American Chopper, all new episode, Thursday night at 9, 8 Central, only on TLC.
Army Lieutenant General David Petraeus, tapped by President Bush to execute the new strategy in Iraq, gave his Senate confirmation hearing an unvarnished assessment today.
The situation in Iraq is dire. The stakes are high. There are no easy choices. The way ahead will be very hard.
But he said hard is not hopeless.
I want to assure you that should I determine that the new strategy cannot succeed, I will provide such an assessment.
Defense Secretary Gates wants to expand the military. Today, the Army said adding 65,000 troops would cost $70 billion. And if there's another conflict before the expansion is complete, it would take longer to fight and casualties would be higher. A developing story. CBS News has learned U.S. forces have conducted another airstrike in Somalia. They've been hunting for Al-Qaeda operatives linked to the 1998 U.S. embassy bombings in Africa. State Farm has agreed to settle with hundreds of Mississippi homeowners whose claims after Hurricane Katrina were denied on the grounds that the damage was caused by flood, not wind. Frazier Engerman is a State Farm spokesman.
The agreement reduces the risk, the time, and the expense of defending multiple claims in individual litigation.
Earlier this month, a jury awarded $2.5 million in punitive damages to a Biloxi couple whose claim was denied by State Farm. This settlement is with Mississippi Attorney General Jim Hood, who sued on behalf of 639 policyholders, including Senator Trent Lott. It could set the pattern for settlements in similar disputes. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato was in court today for opening arguments at the trial of Lewis Scooter Libby, Vice President Cheney's former chief of staff.
Methodically, Prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald detailed Libby's contacts with high-powered journalists and officials about CIA officer Valerie Plame Wilson before she was outed. He said Libby repeatedly lied to investigators about what he knew. Defense lawyer Ted Wells portrayed his client as a very busy man with a bad memory, scapegoated to protect the president's political guru, Karl Rove. Both sides are showing Vice President Cheney was very much involved in damage control after Wilson's husband, a former ambassador, accused the White House of manipulating pre-Iraq War intelligence.
The vice president's expected to testify. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
No doubt about it, the Internet is a great place to hang out. Like blogging, for example. I love to blog. Maybe too much, when I think of all the hours I blogged. Anyway, you've probably spent a lot of time on the Internet, too. Isn't it time the Internet paid you back? Just 15 minutes at GEICO.com could save you hundreds on car insurance. Now that's what I call payback.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
So where do you two keep the books for your contracting business?
It's all up in the old noggin.
Yep, all our sales figures are right in his head.
I see. Does that concern you?
Not at all.
Every waking moment.
You know, there's an easier way to manage your business. QuickBooks. You can be up and running in under 15 minutes. With just a few clicks, QuickBooks software lets you send invoices, see who's paid and who hasn't. It even makes tax time a cinch.
We need that.
Are you sure? I got it all right here.
I'm sure.
QuickBooks. Better, faster, simpler. Get it at CompUSA, OfficeMax, or Circuit City.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, live, unscripted, unrehearsed, and we originate in San Francisco on the left coast of these United States. My toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. And you're invited to join this conversation whenever you like. You can also email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. And that's the website where you can link up to our archive programs and even see a picture of your humble host. This hour, we're going to take a look at a recent conference focused on media reform that was held in Memphis, Tennessee, under the auspices of Free Press. They're on the web at freepress.net. And later this hour, we'll be joined by young media activist Aldous Tyler, who is working hard to preserve and expand the radio station base for progressive talk shows like this. Yeah, he strikes right at my self-interest. Aldis Tyler, based in Madison, where they recently saved their progressive talk station. There was a format change threatened and averted. That's the right way to put it. He'll tell us about that and other cities where progressive talk either needs a little nurturing or is in some sort of a threatened situation. But first, for a rundown on what occurred in Memphis, we turn to one of our regular contributors here on the Peter B. Collins Show, Norman Solomon, a longtime advocate for media reform, a founder of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting and the Institute of Public Accuracy, the author of many columns and a lot of great books, the most recent book called War Made Easy. Norman, welcome back to the PBC Show.
Hi, Peter.
Thanks for joining us today.
Sure.
I wanted to get your take on the Media Reform Conference. I was able to attend the previous setting in St. Louis, which was about a year and a half ago, and I found it to be a very vibrant group of people focused on the issues of media access, diversity of views and voices in the media, and the counterside, which is the problems of concentrated corporate ownership and the expansion or threatened expansion of some of that control. Give us a couple of minutes here. What went on in Memphis, and in your view, what were the key issues that people are keyed in on right now?
Well, it was really energetic. You had upwards above, really, 3,000 people from, I would guess, every state of the country and beyond. And you also had a lot of focus on a variety of issues, defending the Internet from corporate voracious efforts to create a multi-tier system to help the big money interests. Also, a strong effort to talk about ways that the structure of ownership of media outlets is really affecting what we do and don't get through TV, radio, newspapers, major news magazines, and so forth. And people were very much, as you were referring to a minute ago, interested in activism that will affect democratic discourse and what we see, hear, and read every day. And so as you're alluding to the need to defend and support radio that goes against the Rush Hannity right-wing juggernaut that's had a grip on the airwaves so much, people were really down to cases, you know, a lot of discussion of theory, structure, ownership, and government deregulation that's had such negative effects, and also saying, look, this has tangible effects on what happens every day, choking off or allowing information through radio programs, and let's not only complain, but organize effectively to turn this around.
Mm-hmm. Now, two of the individuals who were there, I have been following for a number of years. They happen to be commissioners of the Federal Communications Commission, and in general, they support our issues, our side of media reform, Michael Copps and Jonathan Adelstein. And they have been touring the country holding hearings of their own related to the ownership issues and the renewed threat that the FCC will dilute the restrictions and essentially permit Fox and NBC and the other big boys to get even bigger and squeeze out the few remaining independent or small chain voices in radio and television. Copps and Adelstein also pulled off something that I think is sort of a coup, but some people are critical of it. That is that because the fifth commissioner, there are three Republicans, two Democrats, one of the three Republicans had to recuse him or herself from the final discussion of the merger of SBC and AT&T. And in those proceedings, Copps and Adelstein succeeded in inserting some language about net neutrality. This has been an important issue. You referenced it a moment ago. And essentially, net neutrality means that whether you're Monster.com or MSNBC.com or PeterBCollins.com, that users can access that on a level playing field, the same delivery speeds, the same broadband access, etc. Tell me your view on the net neutrality issue, and was this a victory in the SBC-AT&T case?
Well, I think it was a temporary victory, although even as was said from the stage in Memphis, there were some concessions to the corporate juggernaut in the process. And so it was at best a holdoff, I believe it's for 2 years. And so who knows what the politics of the country, including in Washington, will be like in 24 months from now. And I think that's the nature of this beast right now. When we can prevent the corporations from totally implementing their political plans, and in this case, to create a multi-tier kind of economic apartheid system working on the Internet. That is a victory, given that we have slowed at least the right-wing momentum. But I don't think anybody who's been realistic about this, including in Memphis, feels that we have headed off this threat from the past. Mm-hmm. We haven't really stopped the threat. What we've done is to slow it enough so that we can regroup and build a positive agenda.
Maybe, you know, I've been on the short end of the stick for so long. The odds in talk radio, it's 13-1 right-wing versus the rest of us. And so to see these two minority commissioners able to make some headway, gain a little bit of ground on the net neutrality issue, which has been stalled in Congress, and maybe that'll change with Democratic control, I saw it as a bright moment, not something that fixes the whole problem, but at least there is a marker there. There is a standard from which to try to build.
Well, I think that's true, and we also have kind of the good news, bad news story that these are two commissioners, and I don't agree with them always on so-called obscenity, for instance.
Yeah, Michael Copps in particular seems to be a hardliner on that, and I don't agree with him, as you stated.
Yeah, so and likewise, and so I won't nominate either one of them for sainthood, but I do think that when we look at what they're saying and doing, they are extraordinarily progressive on the whole, especially for the Washington context, and they are doing a wonderful job with tens and really hundreds of thousands of activists behind them to prevent a total rout on behalf of corporate America through the airwaves. And we really have, like, I don't know what the sports analogy would be, but we have to prevent them from being able to run out the clock at our expense in the next 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think it's interesting because I do criticize Copps, Michael Copps, the FCC commissioner, on the so-called decency issues. But I also believe that he's able to reach out to disparate groups. And what we saw two and a half years ago, Norman Solomon, was an incredible coalition that included Move On and the NRA, Right to Life, and pro-abortion groups. It was pretty remarkable. And at that time, the FCC got more comments than they ever have in their entire history.
And what's at stake, as we know, is so huge. And yet often the news media that are going to benefit the most do the least to tell us anything about what's going on. It really was a grassroots. It was radio programs such as this, internet sites, organizations across the political spectrum that basically saw this as a big money versus small money issue, suppression versus democratic discourse. And I think that is really key now because things are starting to turn around, and you can see how the K Street Project and the other big corporate monsters, if I can use that term, are seeing, you know, the tide is turning, and they're going to try to make out like bandits as much as they can because they may be even out of the White House in a couple of years.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a break and continue with Norman Solomon. He's recapping for us the recent media reform conference held in Memphis. You can dial into the Peter B. Collins Show toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. More straight ahead, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
The days of wine and roses.
12-step talk uncensored.
Laugh and run away.
Saturdays, 4 to 5 p.m.
Like a child.
12-step talk uncensored. It's about time.
Through a meadowland toward a closing door.
Hello, I'm
I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
It is a smooth ride along the Central Coast. Monterey, Santa Cruz, Salinas, no new stalls or accidents to report. Santa Cruz mounds both directions of Highway 17, checking in stall and accident free. There's some road work going on in Santa Cruz you should be aware of. The Morrissey Boulevard exit from southbound Highway 1 is closed for about 4 months of road work, so you can use the Soquel Avenue or the Ocean Street off-ramp to access Morrissey. The on-ramp also closed, with the Fairmount Avenue on-ramp to southbound 1 remains open for this time being. 129 between Watsonville and Aromas is free flow and no stalls or accident. And it's also a smooth ride, 101 down 101 from Silicon Valley. This report is brought to you by Office Depot. Office Depot has over 500 ink, toner, and fax supplies in stores and thousands more online at unbeatable prices. Office Depot, taking care of business. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking about media reform with Norman Solomon. I'd like to see a rollback in cable television rates. That's the message I get from cable television. It's, give me your money, please. And Norman, once a few years back, I was invited to MC an event that was being aired live on a local cable system. And I made a little joke. I said, you know, this is brought to you by Viacom, the black snake that crawls into your living room and keeps demanding more money. And strangely, they didn't invite me back the next year.
You know, it reminds me of, I was on a radio station in L.A. by phone a few years ago, and I was later informed that my comments about Clear Channel never made it on the air. And mind you, this is a live program with a 7-second delay. Only later did I find out that I was speaking on you guessed it, a station owned by Clear Channel.
Oh, my. They have special filters, Norman. Well, tell me what for you were some of the highlights of this media reform conference in Memphis. Jesse Jackson was there. Jane Fonda spoke. Bill Moyers, Congressman Ed Markey of Massachusetts. Van Jones, an activist from San Francisco. Who really connected, in your view?
Well, a lot of the connection for me in terms of energy and ideas was in the halls, in the discussions that were happening as small groups, and the workshops and panels. I have to say Van Jones was inspiring and upbeat. Bill Moyers gave, I think, a superb speech, and his address was very well crafted to kick off the conference. He has, I think, a biblical view, really, in the best sense, that it is about human justice and spirit and challenging the power that suppresses those entities in our lives. Jesse Jackson, you know, he wasn't really at his best, frankly, mm-hmm. but Jesse Jackson not at his best is still wonderful.
Yeah.
And he really spoke to Martin Luther King's legacy. One of the things that struck me was Jesse Jackson said, you know, that was never an I Have a Dream speech in 1963. It was not about I Have a Dream. It was about an unfulfilled promise, a check that came back insufficient funds, a promissory note to the people of this country, including African Americans, that has been reneged on from the beginning until now. And I thought it was very powerful for him to challenge the usual Hallmark card media version of what Martin Luther King is about.
Yeah, that's touching. Now, Danny Schechter, who you and I both know, he's the news dissector of MediaChannel.org. He's a blogger, media activist. He worked at WBCN in Boston as the news director, went on to work for ABC and CNN. And he wrote a piece that was critical of this event. He described it as a kind of glitzy fundraiser for Free Press. And I won't disallow that some of it may have been personal pique, because Danny did acknowledge in the piece that he posted that he was not invited to speak, and he thought he should have been. But tell me, are his observations at all borne out by your experience?
Well, one disclaimer is that I'm on the board of the Free Press Action Fund.
Mm-hmm.
But I had, you know, very little to do with the conference. I did speak there. I certainly didn't have involvement in planning it particularly. You know, I think it's like looking at the proverbial elephant or donkey or octopus from any sort of direction. There are many different facets, and I don't mean to evade the question. It's just to say that mm-hmm. the conference accomplished a heck of a lot, and there was a lot of great energy. And yet I think, like all of our human creations, including progressive ones, there are ways it could have been improved. You know, we run in a society that casts such a large shadow or is overshadowed by money to such a great degree. And here we were in the Marriott Hotel, an event that cost a lot of money to put on, and you can't help but think that that affects what choices get made.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think one of his issues, too, is he wants to see more grassroots organizing and activism. When I was in St. Louis, I felt that it was a broad range of individuals, from those who are media users and want it to be better, to those of us who are on the producer side. Was this the same kind of population in your view?
I think so. I mean, it was very much people immersed in media or activists in related issues, and all issues are really related to media, who wanted to be there to connect and organize, because all concerns really run through the lack of media democracy in this country. I think also that inevitably those who can't get there are those who often just can't afford to go, to fly to another city, to stay in a hotel for a few days,
mm-hmm.
to lose the time off work. They may have to be in a very different sort of a job. And that does cut against a wide-ranging participation, certainly puts constraints around it. I think there were efforts to provide scholarships and so forth, but as in so many other endeavors, we have a long way to go there.
Yeah. Norman, the takeaways from the conference? I know the big struggle coming up is at the FCC over the ownership regulations.
I think it's the fight around the FCC and now moving to Capitol Hill in earnest more than ever. Also, the way that media ownership and bias is skewing how we deal with coverage of the war. That was a major theme that came out in the sessions and last-minute workshops that were set up. People are very upset, understandably. I share the feeling that our news media are whitewashing this war, making it easier for the war to continue, a war based on lies in Iraq and to a large extent in Afghanistan as well. And that was really a take-home message from the conference. We've got to struggle against that. We've got to challenge it, or this war will continue.
Conservative pundits are very worried that the new Democratic Congress is going to reinstall some sort of fairness doctrine, which Ronald Reagan eviscerated in 1987, led to the rise of one-sided broadcasts like Rush Limbaugh and his clones. Do you think that has potential?
I think because of the momentum on Capitol Hill, it is possible. You know, a challenge with, and I know you would be very acutely aware of this as a broadcaster, that every issue doesn't have two sides. It has 18 or 27 sides. And so fairness doctrine is open to a lot of skewed interpretation. That said, the era that just allows these corporate right-wing voices to so dominate the airwaves, We have to put a stop to it.
I have a plan for a different form of fairness doctrine, and I'll summarize it briefly because we're tight on time, and that is to allow stations to carry Rush Limbaugh, but they've got to carry an Al Franken or a Tom Hartman or even a Peter B. Collins in some sort of balance. That way, the individual programs could reflect, honestly, the view of the host, but there would be balance for at least the consumer's point of view.
I think that would be a great matchup. For instance, Rush and Peter.
Well, I survived 3 years behind Rush Limbaugh. I could do it again.
Great. I'm looking forward to it.
Norman, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for this report.
Thank you, Peter.
Norman Solomon here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Coming up next, another attendee at the Media Reform Conference in Memphis, Aldis Tyler, will join us from Madison, Wisconsin, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
I bet I know what the state of our union is. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. Not to spoil the ending for you, but I'm pretty sure that tonight the president is going to announce that the state of our union is strong, because the state of our union is always strong. It's the state of the presidency that's a shambles, which brings us to what tonight's speech is really about, and that is the final attempt to rescue the Bush presidency. The marquee topics being floated by the White House are global warming and health care. On health care, the president will acknowledge that Americans could use some help with the cost. On global warming, he is apparently going to acknowledge that it exists. And then he'll admit that the earth is round and announce that he is finally signing the laws of gravity, with a signing statement, of course. No, I'm kidding about the signing statement. But he has to do something, because time's up on the war in Iraq. The CBS poll shows his approval rating at 28%, which means that only Jimmy Carter and the ghost of Richard Nixon are jealous. And I think the president looks at that and he says, they're not punishing me for my decision to go in. They're punishing me because we haven't won. Which is true. If we were now seeing a thriving democracy in Iraq, cheerfully selling us oil, with American investors peacefully building shopping malls, even though the cost in money and lives was the same, the president would be a popular man today. And so he will acknowledge global warming, the cost of health care. He may even admit that he's been mispronouncing nuclear all these years, just so Congress doesn't block his one last chance to win in Iraq. Now this.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Corporate America won't tell you, but the airwaves belong to you and to me and to every American citizen, not to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox. We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 33 minutes past the hour. We just got a recap from Norman Solomon on the events at the Media Reform Conference in Memphis, Tennessee, held recently. And we get another perspective from Aldous Tyler, who joins us now from Madison, Wisconsin. And he is one of the founders of NonstopRadio.com. We'll tell you what they do and what they're up to in a moment. Aldous, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, Peter.
Nice to talk with you.
And nice to be with you.
Tell me your thoughts about the Media Reform Conference. Was this your first one?
Well, it was the first Media Reform Conference I've been to, which is a little ironic because the first one held in 2003 was in Madison, which is the area I live in.
Right.
But at the time, to be honest with you, while I supported media reform, I wasn't a major activist for it.
Mm-hmm.
So I just basically allowed that opportunity to slip by, but I certainly couldn't this time.
Yeah. Well, I managed to catch you on your cell phone at B.B. King's Blues Club on Beale Street on a Friday night. And I could tell that was fun.
It was a good place to be.
Yeah. Tell us about the action at the conference. And as Norman Solomon pointed out, a lot of it was in the hallways and in the workshops and the breakout sessions.
Peter, they're simply, with as much as they had scheduled, the concurrent conference is going on sometimes 12 deep for a certain time period, on top of the plenary speeches and everything else. Even despite all that, Norman is quite correct. The fact is that it was in the halls. It was in between times. You'd meet people on the trolleys. They have a wonderful trolley system there. But you'd be discussing things continuously from the time you pretty much got up till the time you went to bed, which normally would probably be a lot later than you'd expect.
Uh-huh. Hey, Aldous, it could be our NSA minder, but we're getting a lot of snap, crackle, and pop on this phone line. So I'm going to hang up real quick. Liz will call you right back, and we'll continue our conversation here in just a second or two. It happens on the telephone circuits. And if you'd like to talk with our guest, Aldous, he's going to be with us this half hour, call in at 888-5-PETER-B. Nonstop Radio seeks to support progressive talk radio stations around the country when they are threatened by format changes or ownership sales, that sort of thing, and to help expand it into new cities. That's what he'll describe for us over the next few minutes. So if you'd like to get on the line, you can do so at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. And let's see through telephone roulette if we picked up a better line. That sounds better, Aldous.
It certainly does.
Oh, it does. Okay, great.
But, yes, as I was saying, though, definitely the place to connect was, well, when you have 3,500, roughly, people of a like mind, kindred spirits, if you will, there simply is no way to stop the networking from happening. You put them all in one spot, and there you go.
Well, tell us about a couple of key connections or people you met, speakers you heard, that you found really valuable to the work that you're doing, and then we'll talk about Nonstop Radio.
Oh, certainly. Well, actually, first of all, the speakers, frankly, Jesse Jackson made an incredibly salient point The first thing he said is, you know, one man by himself can fight for so long, but then he'll tire and he can be overcome. But two men back to back can fight their way through a mob. And he went on from there. Three men can organize, four men, you essentially have a committee at that point. But that point really, really made a big difference to me as far as how I knew then to approach people and let them understand what I was all about with my my project. Now, that was the speaker. Now, as far as other things going on, I made connections with a lot of very, very wonderful activists, such as the Backbone Project. You may have heard, or sorry, Backbone Campaign. Have you heard of that?
I haven't. Tell us.
Okay, they're out of Seattle, and their idea simply is to take the progressive platform, if you will, each as a separate piece of spine on a spinal column to show that they all interlock and are thus, when used as a whole, the structural foundation of the progressive movement.
That's a great concept.
And then on top of that, when people show spine, especially leaders, show spine, in other words, they stand up for these principles, even especially elected leaders, despite the fact that it could cost them re-election, depending on who they are, they send them backbone awards, which is literally a column shaped exactly after an orthopedic spine that they send them as an award. And then also, if leaders don't do so well, you are able to download right from their website postcards that you can print up called spineless citations.
Mm-hmm.
And you can send them to the people and just let them know exactly how it is you felt that they violated the progressive platform.
I like that, conceptually and as an activist tool. And I guess on one side we have Code Pink issuing pink slips to people who don't do the right thing. And then when people do the right thing, you can give them a backbone award. I like that.
Exactly. Oh, it's a wonderful concept, and it's not the only thing they do. They also have the Bush Chain Gang, which is they've made four very large, well-sculpted puppet heads that then get fitted on people wearing jail clothes. And these are puppet heads of Condi Rice, George Bush, Dick Cheney, and Donald Rumsfeld, who then can get paraded around as a chain gang for increasing awareness of impeachment.
I saw them in Washington at Camp Democracy last September. It's a great visual street theater kind of thing.
Yes, then you may not have heard of the Backbone Campaign, but you've seen their work.
Yeah. Aldous Tyler's with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show, and if you want to log on to the website, go to nonstopradio.com. Founder, CEO, Commander-in-Chief, what's your title there, Aldous?
Administrator.
You're administrator.
The main reason I picked that title is because, well, quite frankly, that's what I do. When it comes to the local fights here, I make sure that it's grassroots that is it actually doing the action. I'm the one who gives them the sunshine so that grass can grow higher than any John Deere can handle.
Now, did this grow out of the challenges you faced right there in Madison, where Clear Channel threatened to change the format on 92 FM, the mic?
That's exactly correct. As a matter of fact, this grew out of that and also the challenge about a year ago to Phoenix's station, with Air America Phoenix, which in that case I was helping remotely send people to SaveAirAmericaPhoenix.com, which in a month and a half they were actually able to find a new home on a different frequency after they were taken off.
Well, and we are broadcasting on that station at this very moment, KPHX in Phoenix.
I was saying, though, that what I tried to do is make sure that it wasn't just a local effort, that basically this got, again, sunshine from around the country. And at the time, I didn't have a nice website or snazzy tools or any techniques at all. But the nice thing is, because I was on the inside of that, I know the techniques they used to turn another station to progressive talk when theirs went dark. So we have that model for if the station gets switched off, and then we have the Madison model on how to keep a station from getting switched in the first place.
I think those are great efforts, and I really appreciate it. Obviously, I'm one of the beneficiaries of your work and the work of many others to help keep progressive talk on in Phoenix, and there's a lot of work to be done around the country. Let's just jump to another example, Cincinnati, Ohio. That's the birthplace of Peter B. Collins, Aldous, and I have been hankering to get on the air in Cincinnati to try to rescue some of my wayward high school buddies. And the Clear Channel station, well, first of all, they had it on a really powerful 50,000-watt station on 1530, and they decided it wasn't making enough money. So last summer, they bumped it to 1360, just 5,000 watts, and then they pulled the plug entirely. When? In December?
Yes, what happened was Jerry Springer, at the same time, had decided he was going to retire from being a progressive talk show host, and that was essentially the last straw on that camel's back, sadly. Clear Channel decided that that was enough at that point of an excuse to go ahead and pitch it. Now, The thing is that I wouldn't necessarily find that suspicious, except keep in mind, at the same time they were trying to cut off the Mike 92.1 in Madison, as well as they were planning and did finally shut off the Progressive Talk in Boston. They did it in Columbus, Dallas, and another, believe it or not, 10 markets have either have been flipped off or are about to be turned from Progressive Talk to some other format. And all those decisions came since the election, Peter.
Well, and let's clarify here, because I know Dallas was not a Clear Channel station, but Boston, Columbus, and Cincinnati all are.
As was Madison, and Madison still is at this point.
Yeah.
The thing to keep in mind is that if they're not Clear Channel, they're generally usually Entercom or Meridian, which are, again, similar boats as far as being very large broadcast corporations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are you currently doing in Cincinnati to try to return Progressive Talk there?
Well, I actually have been in contact with a fellow by the name of Maynard, who is now resetting the whole game. There was originally a petition back in the summer to protest the switch from the 50,000 to 5,000 watt station, and he has actually been in contact with the original petition owner and such to see if he can transfer over, or at least very least contact the people who signed that. But he started a new petition to bring it back, and what I've advised him to do, and this is advice that anyone can use, even if they want to start a station where there never has been one, is you go, you find advertisers, you tell them about Progressive Talk, you can pull up numbers for cities that have similar demographics to yours and say, look, this is how it does here, and what you tell these people who you want to advertise is, look, if we can get this station on the air here, will you pledge, just give me a signed pledge, that you will find a way to advertise on it. You gather enough of those, and what you do is you approach the, let me cease the ramble for a moment and say, most markets have at least, let's say, 25 to 40 stations.
Right.
So let's say 30. You approach the bottom 15 in ratings, and you say, here are the numbers for markets just like ours with Progressive Talk. Here are all the people that have pledged to advertise. Are you sure you wouldn't be making better money if you went for Progressive Talk?
Well, you
that
really...
get somebody to flip.
You know, it's fascinating here, Aldous, because I have been in the radio business for over 30 years, and many people find it mysterious and hard to grok. But you have hit the two key points there, that A, advertising revenue is what a radio station owner wants to attract. And they'll put on programming in Hindi, in, whether it's reggae music. They'll put almost anything on if they think advertisers will support it. And by demonstrating in advance that there are key advertisers in a given community that are willing to support a Progressive Talk station, that is, you know, number one. And number two, you're correct in identifying that there are a lot of stations losing money. And the owners find ways to slough it off, either by combining a weak AM station with five FM stations. You know, they have different ways of offsetting the losses from a particular station, particularly due to deregulation. But if you can show them a path to profitability for a station that's in the red right now, most owners, even if they're arch-conservative in their own minds, will say, well, gosh, I don't have much to lose, do I? I ought to give that a try.
Well, I mean, let's face it. It may be they're arch-conservatives, but they're businessmen. Why don't they want liberal dollars? Of course they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just a matter of making sure they understand just how many liberals out there have pocket cash that are willing to spend money at the people who would be sponsoring their station via advertisement.
So take us back to the case in Madison, the Mike, because Clear Channel really appeared dug in there. And while the ratings of the station were strong, they claimed that they weren't generating very good revenues from that. And Ed Schultz and others from the outside said, well, look, that's their problem. That's poor management. That's a poor sales force. And I'm curious, in your efforts to turn this around, you basically became the sales force for Clear Channel in Madison.
In some ways. I can tell you one thing for certain, and this is a problem with the Clear Channel and other major market owners, where when you have the big media owning a lot of stations, what happens is they set up a central office like they did in Madison, and they have their sales force sell for all stations at once. Now, the reason this is a problem is because different stations sell at different rates per minute depending upon all sorts of different factors.
You're right.
Sometimes it's even up to just sales managers' whimsy. But so let's say you have Progressive Talk selling at $10 per 60 seconds, and you have Conservative Talk selling at $40 per 60 seconds, and you are a salesperson that works on commission.
Yep.
Now tell me, are you going to spend a lot of time trying to sell a minute on Conservative Talk or Progressive Talk, considering you're going to be making four times the commission on Conservative Talk?
Mm-hmm. Some stations do adjust for that by giving a higher commission rate for new business.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one way of offsetting that, but you make a very valid point there. Aldous, we're going to take a break and return. For our listeners in Phoenix, if you'd like to give a shout-out and thank Aldous and others for the efforts that kept Progressive Talk on the air in Phoenix, you can give us a call right now. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. You're in tune with the Peter B. Collins Show.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake Elistero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Aloha, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ginger.
And we would like to invite you to our family restaurant at Pizza Paradise, serving the biggest, best, and boldest pizzas from our Marina location at 215 Reservation Road. It's in the Marina Village Shopping Center across from Wells Fargo Bank. Try one of our specialty pizzas like the Ginger's Island Paradise, or for the meat lovers, a Meet Me in Paradise. We're open Tuesday through Sunday and offer a banquet room for up to 80 people. We deliver to Marina and CSUMB.
Call 582-9149.
It's a Pizza Paradise.
That's 582-9149.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunetarealestate.com.
Taking a look at your Central Coast traffic. Watch out for a large unknown object in Greenfield. It's northbound 101 at Thorn Road. Again, this object is actually in the right-hand lane. Boulder Creek, southbound 9 at Pacific Avenue. A car lost its wheel, and it's now blocking one of the lanes there. It's got a tow truck as well as CHP en route for that. Also, watch out for that wheel. It may be in the roadway as well. Santa Cruz Mountains, check in both directions of Highway 17, stall and accident-free. Some road work going on in Santa Cruz. The Morrissey Boulevard exit from southbound 1 has been closed for a couple months of road work, so you can take the Soquel Avenue or the Ocean Street off-ramp to access Morrissey, and the on-ramp as well is closed, with the Fairmont Avenue on-ramp to southbound 1 remains open. This report is brought to you by your Genuine Toyota Service Departments. Toyota owners, see your Genuine Toyota Service Center for the convenience and value of an Express Lube Plus. Oil and filter change and tire rotation all in under an hour. I'm Dio with traffic on KRXA 540.
Continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with Aldous Tyler from nonstopradio.com. They work to support Progressive Talk, to keep it alive where it's threatened, and to expand it where it hasn't yet been nurtured. If you have a comment or a question, you can join us right now, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Aldous, I'm looking at your website, and one community that you could take off your watch list is Santa Cruz, California, because the Peter B. Collins Show is heard on a station in Monterey, KRXA, that also covers Santa Cruz, and KRXA features Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Ed Schultz, yours truly, and some great local programming on the weekends. So.
Well, now that's very interesting because you see, I got the notification just last month that, just the last week or two, that if it wasn't KRXA, then it was another one in Santa Cruz that is scheduled to go dark within the month.
Well, you're correct. There was a station, it's actually in Watsonville, that had been carrying a couple of the Air America programs, and they were unsuccessful, and they dropped out in at the end of October, I believe. But there is a surviving great progressive radio station in the area.
Well, I understand. I know about the one in October. This was a different one, and KRXA is sounding pretty familiar. I would have to look through my notes really quickly to find it, and sadly...
Yeah, well, why don't you drop me an email later, and we can work through that.
I certainly shall. If it is a different one than you've heard of, I think you'd be interested to know. And I do understand why that was surprising to you, because it certainly shocked me when I saw Santa Cruz come up.
Now, one of the other areas that doesn't show up on your watch list, and I've been contacted a couple of times by people from Atlanta, and they've been working a similar approach, maybe even using some of your tips, to try to develop advertiser support and in turn persuade a local radio station to reconnect with progressive talk either through Air America or other resources. Do you know the status in Atlanta right now?
It's interesting you should bring that up. While I was at the conference, I was going back and forth an email with the person who originally headed up the Coalition to Save Air Atlanta, is how they put it. And I was asking them if they would mind restarting the fight, if I could get them reinterested. And frankly, they sounded fairly defeated now. The good news is I think I was able to pep talk them back to it. And this comes back to what I said about Jesse Jackson at the conference, where he'd said, one man alone can fight a certain amount of time until he gets tired and he drops, exhausted. But two men, back to back, can fight their way through a mob. This is an important point because, Peter, I'll be number two. All I need is one person in each market who gives a damn about those stations to contact me. I will be the other person. I will have their back, and we'll make sure that project gets moving.
And Aldous, how do you support yourself? How do you support Nonstop Radio?
Well, Nonstop Radio is entirely donation-supported by people who care about progressive talk radio and want to see it not only survive but flourish. They understand what I'm up to, they understand what Nonstop Radio is all about, and they give towards it, which is really the only way it could be at the conference. People have been generous, and I hate to say that that's what I'm counting on, but it is. We're not backed by any kind of George Soros or big money, but on the other hand, what we are backed with comes in and comes in when needed, and so I would definitely ask anybody out there who would even slightly consider it, that's what you should do. Basically, we accept PayPal on the site, or you can drop a check to our P.O. box.
I saw that. Nonstopradio.com is the site, and on the lower left of the homepage, you'll find the opportunity to support their efforts. And where do you see this going next, Aldous? What are your targets?
Well, honestly, Peter, right now we have a list on the bottom of the first page there, the main page, of markets for which I don't have grassroots solidified yet for.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, I am talking to a few people, but they haven't put together what's needed for me to actually link to them.
Well, why don't you mention those cities, because we have a disparate web audience. I don't know where everybody is, but some of them might be in those target communities.
Certainly. All right. Everybody, if you are listening in these markets or know someone who cares about progressive talk, tell them to go to nonstopradio.com. These markets are Little Rock, Arkansas, Santa Cruz, California. We'll talk about that one.
Mm-hmm.
The Quad Cities of Iowa and Illinois.
Right. Moline and Davenport, right?
Exactly. Baton Rouge, Louisiana. New Orleans, Louisiana. Binghamton, New York. I apologize. Buffalo or Niagara Falls, New York. You have one that went off, and your other one, which currently carries Schultz and Miller, is in jeopardy. Please.
I didn't know that in Buffalo, huh?
It is in jeopardy.
And that's an intercom station.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Albany, Oregon, recently went to country music, I was informed. They said that they can pick up things from Salem, but they'd like their station back. So I'm working with them at the moment. However, if anybody from Albany wants to fight for that, contact me.
Okay.
San Antonio, Texas.
Wait a minute. The hometown of Clear Channel doesn't have a progressive talk station?
Interesting how that works, isn't it?
Yeah.
However, the point is that if you'd really like to annoy the people who bring you Clear Channel, right in their backyard, contact me. San Antonio, we're here.
Mm-hmm.
And then Huntington, West Virginia is another one that I'm aware of that needs a little help there. Now, we already have efforts in Columbus, Boston, Dallas, Cincinnati, and Missoula, Montana,
mm-hmm.
that I have links up to the site. You can go right there, contact them, and get going. And actually, one last point to bring up about Nonstop Radio, Peter, is that it was designed specifically because I know activists aren't rich. Most times they can barely afford to spend the time to set up a free Yahoo group or a free thepetitionsite.com petition. What I wanted to do was make it so that even though they would have these web addresses that are 30 or 40 syllables long, they could still promote them by getting, for example, a phone call into a show like yours, for example, and they'd be able to say, go to nonstopradio.com and click on Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much easier than trying to give out some incredibly wildly long Yahoo group, for example.
Right. Well, Aldous, I want to thank you for your work. I really appreciate the enthusiasm that you bring to this. You've got at least one victory that you can notch your belt with there in Madison. And I fully support your efforts, and in some ways it may benefit me down the road. So.
Oh, that's the whole idea, Peter. Basically, the idea is that right now we're looking at conservative to progressive talk being about a 95% to 5% ratio, maybe generously spoken.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I want to make it at least 50-50. And, sir, that can only benefit you and your listeners.
All right. Thank you, Aldous.
You're welcome, Peter. Thanks for the time.
You bet. Great to talk with you. Aldous Tyler in Madison, Wisconsin. Once again, nonstopradio.com is the website. Thanks for joining us for this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. You can get more information, links to our archive programs, at peterbcollins.com.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Mark Knoller, live at the White House. What a difference a year will make.
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
But instead of that, we'll hear the cry, Madam Speaker. And for the first time in his presidency, George W. Bush will deliver his State of the Union address an hour from now to a Congress in the hands of Democrats. He'll acknowledge the new majority, but say we can work through our differences and achieve big things. He'll again make the case for sending more troops to Iraq, and he'll offer a plan to reduce U.S. consumption of gasoline by 20% over 10 years. Live at the White House, I'm Mark Knoller. With more CBS News, here's Bill Whitney.
The Senate Armed Services Committee heard today from the President's choice to lead U.S. forces in Iraq. General David Petraeus said the situation is grim.
At this point in Baghdad, the population just wants to be secure, and truthfully, they don't care who does it.
He said the new strategy will not be quick or easy and might not even work. From the Pentagon, CBS News correspondent David Martin reports U.S. forces have conducted an airstrike on suspected terrorist targets in Somalia.
This is the second time in the last 2 weeks that the U.S. has tried a strike like this. The people they're really after are the sort of the big three of al-Qaeda in Africa, one of whom was a principal player in the 1998 bombing of the two American embassies in Africa.
The results of this latest strike are unknown. The first apparently failed to get any top Al-Qaeda operatives. A new development in Missouri's missing boys case. Kara Caswell of CBS television affiliate KMOV broke the story.
Law enforcement sources telling me today that Sean Hornbeck was forced to help grab kidnap victim Ben Ownby. I am told he was helpful in pushing the boy to the floorboard to help conceal him, and that a gun and duct tape were used.
Authorities say Hornbeck, allegedly held by Michael Devlin more than 4 years, will not be charged. Another Watergate figure has died. Howard Hunt was 88.
He was one of the key players.
Former Democratic Congresswoman Elizabeth Holzman of New York was on the House Judiciary Committee when it voted to impeach President Nixon. Hunt, a CIA officer, was a member of the White House Plumbers Unit assigned to stop leaks.
The fact that Howard Hunt's phone number was in the address book of some of the actual burglars of the Democratic National Headquarters at the Watergate Hotel was the key giveaway that began to link the White House to the break-in.
Hunt spent 33 months in prison. As cold air gripped the East, the price of oil shot up today $2.50 to $55.04 a barrel. The Dow gained 56 points. This is CBS News.
Hey, Ken. Picking up a prescription?
Yeah, my erosive acid reflux.
Me too. I take Protonix, pantoprazole sodium.
Does it work?
One Protonix tablet every morning helped control daytime, even nighttime, acid reflux symptoms.
Nighttime symptoms too?
Yep. It even helped repair acid reflux damage. And I save on my Protonix prescription.
Think I could save on my copay?
Check your health plan. Hey, where are you going?
To call my doctor about Protonix.
Protonix copays are not less than generic drugs. Prescription Protonix heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus and relieves associated frequent and persistent heartburn. Most patients heal within 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Doctors may prescribe Protonix longer to maintain healing. Studies lasted 12 months. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. In studies, the most common side effects were headache, diarrhea, and gas. Go to ProtonixSavings.com or call 888-5-REFLUX to learn more about Protonix, acid reflux disease, and savings. See our ad in the Saturday Evening Post. Ask your doctor if Protonix is right for you.
New travel rules effective today require U.S. citizens to have passports when they return from Canada, Mexico, or the Caribbean. Officials say most people comply. Those who forgot or didn't know were allowed into the country after their names were taken. They got a warning and a passport application. A report out today says post-9/11 restrictions have reduced tourism in the United States.
A slow visa process and the perception by world travelers that they'll be poorly treated at the U.S. border is discouraging them from coming here and costing the U.S. money.
We've lost about $90 billion in spending that would have happened if we had just maintained the travelers we had pre-9/11.
At the Discover America Partnership, Jeff Freeman says a new study shows the U.S. share of the world travel market has declined since 9/11, and beyond money, that cost America good PR.
We know that when travelers come to the U.S., they often leave as our greatest ambassadors.
John Hartshee, CBS News, Washington.
And I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Buying a used car can be filled with pitfalls, but there's one sure way to avoid stumbling. Buy a Honda-certified used car. Only well-maintained late-model Hondas are eligible. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection and then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. Plus, now, you can get low APR financing on all certified used Honda Odyssey and Pilot models. Feeling a little more sure-footed, aren't we? Honda Certified Used Cars. Hey, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Hey, I'm here with the Tuttles from TLC's American Chopper.
Hey, this is Mike.
Paul Sr.
Paul Jr.
So, hey, Polly, I hear you're gearing up for a new season now on TLC, the Learning Channel.
What was...
He asked me a question!
Why do you do stupid things
Hey, can you tell me about the new network, TLC?
Hey, I know who does more.
What about the new shop?
I think you're delusional.
You're an idiot.
And I'd like to thank everybody.
Shut up,
Mike. Okay, hey, all right, guys, thanks for coming in. Hey, everybody, don't forget, American Chopper, all new episode, Thursday night at 9, 8 Central, only on TLC.
My state of the nation, whatever you want to call it. I'm pleased to see my friend Christy Harvey trying to bring a consensus, trying to get people together.
If you don't stand for anything, you don't stand for anything.
But I'm the decider. I hear there's rumors on the internets.
Oops.
Tonight I ask you to pass legislation to prohibit the most egregious abuses of medical research, creating human-animal hybrids. Did I say those words? Saddle up.
Hey, and welcome to the Center for American Progress Action Fund State of the Union pre-game show. It's brought to you by your home for paparazzi politics, MikeCheckRadio.org. And I'm your host, Christy Harvey. With me is my political partner in crime, Grant Ginder. Hey, Grant.
Hey, Christy. How you doing?
I'm all right. And tonight we're broadcasting in front of a live studio audience just two blocks from the White House to give you an all-access pass to the world behind the State of the Union speech. Okay, so tonight is the sixth year of President Bush's presidency, and he faces an unpopular war in Iraq, a weak domestic record, a hostile American public, a massive credibility problem, and he's got some pretty big stakes going to the State of the Union. Who better to ask how big the stakes are, though, than Center for American Progress founder and super cool White House insider, John Podesta. Hey, John. So the big question tonight, the word coming out of the White House, Tony Snow's been saying it all week, the president himself has been saying it, they say this is going to be a bold speech. They're throwing all other State of the Unions out the window, getting rid of the traditional laundry list, they're going for themes, they're going for big pictures. What does that even mean?
Well, I think we'll get to know that in about another hour.
Okay.
But I think that the president has tried to sell his program. Just 2 weeks ago, he tried to sell his program in Iraq, military escalation in Iraq, and the public approval of that was lower after the speech than before. So I think that they've decided to junk the specifics and try to go to a more thematic speech, I suppose.
Well, I think that it seems like they're trying whatever they can do to keep Iraq off of tomorrow's front page headlines. What do you think those headlines should be then? Or should they be Iraq? Are they trying a big misinformation campaign?
Well, you know, I think he's going to talk about Iraq tonight, and I think that's where, if you look at where Senator Webb is likely to go, I think he'll spend some time talking about Iraq and a different set of ideas for what we do about Iraq. But the president's going to try to recapture, I suppose, his relevance in the domestic agenda as well. So he's going to try to talk about energy and health care, some other ideas, immigration, education, and try to, again, change the subject, as you noted, away from something that's I think really front and center and what the American people want to talk about, which is, you know, what are we going to do? How are we going to get out of this mess that he's put us in?
John, I've got a question. So, especially since November, the president's been saying, you know, that he wants to reach out with Democrats, that he wants to compromise with Democrats. But this is coming from a president that's extremely divisive and has become known for stubbornness and kind of, you know, my way or the highway approach to things. Do you think there's any chance that he can turn over a new leaf, that he's going to work for the Democrats?
Well, you know, I think he has very little trust up there because I think that he's built very little during the past 6 years. But I think that, as you saw in the first 100 hours of this new Congress, I think that Speaker Pelosi put six different bills on the floor of the House of Representatives. They all garnered bipartisan support, some of them overwhelming bipartisan support. And so I think that there's an openness to try to work with the president if they listen to what's going on coming from the other side and try to put some ideas forward that Democrats could embrace. But if pass is any indication, I think the president will, you know, try to get in and get out without giving away too much of what his agenda is. And, you know, even some of the ideas that he's put forward that we've seen previewed, like on health care, while they go towards the goals that I think at least the rhetoric, they're packed in the rhetoric that of goals that Democrats want to see, like more coverage for the 46 million people that are uninsured. In fact, when you look at the details, it's moving away from I think where Democrats want to go with that, and it's likely to end up with more people uninsured.
Well, also I think that it's not only that he's not been willing so far to work with Democrats, he really hasn't been listening very much to the American people, be you Democrat, Republican, or nothing. And if you look, you saw the poll numbers this week, they were pretty crazy. And the ones that really struck me, everyone's talking about how his new bumper sticker has to be more unpopular than Nixon in 74. But on top of that, a majority of the public has stepped away from what he has himself tried to be famous for. A majority say that he's no longer a good leader. 60% say he's not honest or trustworthy. Can he overcome those numbers with this speech tonight?
Well, I think that that I'm sorry, I just lost my headset, but I think my audio is still working. I think that those whenever your name is in a headline with Nixon,
right.
You're in trouble if you're a president. So that's I think the first rule of presidential politics: don't get compared to Nixon. And I think that I think really the key speech for the president, as much as the State of the Union, was when he addressed the public 2 weeks ago on Iraq. I think if you look at these election results and you look at what's dragged the president down, it's they don't trust the course he's taken in Iraq. They think that that the war was built up on a series of at least misinformation, if not outright lies, as Frank Rich put forward in the New York Times this weekend. And I think that they were looking for they were sending him a message, and it was a message he obviously didn't get, because instead of trying to do something new, something different, he's doubled down on the old strategy, and he's escalating the war in Iraq. And I think the American people are probably kind of shocked that was his reaction to this election.
Well, last time he took a really big gamble with State of the Union, he came out with those very famous 16 words. The 16 words that basically rocked the rest of his presidency when he swore that the yellow cake was coming from Niger. Do you think that he would go so far as to come up with 16? What do you think the 16 words could be this time? Is there anything that he could really rock us with?
Well, you know, I think that, again, you know, if he is going to follow his vice president down the rabbit hole, I think he'll probably say we're actually making improvements, and as the vice president said in his Fox News appearance, you know, things are getting better in Iraq. Now, I know the American people are watching television every night, and they are not falling for that. And I think if the president tries to suggest that, it'll be right up there with mission accomplished.
John, you're very clearly a White House insider. You were Clinton's chief of staff. I feel like I'm on the West Wing right now with you. If you were still in the White House, what tone would you be aiming for right now with the State of the Union?
You know, I think what he's got to do is to try to find some common ground, try to go to the center, try to appeal, to be gracious to Speaker Pelosi. It'll be the first time that he has to stand with her eyes boring deep into his neck, and you know it's an historic moment. Speaker Pelosi is the highest ranking woman ever elected in the United States as the third in line to the presidency, and I think he's got to be really gracious to her and try to find some common space with the Democrats. So one thing that I think we'll see an indication of whether he's been able to do that is not only the public's reaction, but when you saw those you know popping heads on both sides of the aisle, are they both standing up in unison, or is it one going up while the other sitting down and sitting on their hands? And you know that's become a kind of parlor game to try to figure out. But I think if he succeeds in setting that gracious tone and trying to open up and say, well, look, maybe there are a few things we can find to work together on immigration or education. It'll be at least a good night for him. I think that when you're in the gutter as much as he is, you're not trying to hit the ball over the fence. You're trying to hit a couple of singles to try to begin to crawl out of that gutter.
Is there absolutely anything he could say tonight that would make you smack your forehead and yell, he gets it? He finally has listened to people. He finally is breaking through his stubbornness. Anything that he could say that would make you do that?
Well, he's already said what he's going to say on Iraq. So I guess if he stood up and said, I was wrong about global warming. It is actually happening. Tomorrow I'm asking Al Gore to come to the White House to discuss a program along with the business leaders of America. We're going to cap CO2 emissions in our economy. That would probably make me slap my head.
Got it. So in this day and age, does the State of the Union still mean something? It is a big speech. He can try and help his poll numbers. But does the State of the Union really mean anything?
Well, sure. You know, it's the requirement of the State of the Union is in our Constitution. The president has to report to the Congress on what he thinks is going on in the country, what the program is for moving forward. You know, the Constitution doesn't require him to deliver this address. He could just merely mail it in. And you see that ceremony at the beginning where generally the president turns around and hands an envelope to the to the Speaker of the House and to Vice President Cheney, who's the president of the serves as the president of the Senate. And you know, in the past, presidents have actually mailed in the State of the Union. But I think in the modern day, in the modern age, as a result of electronic communications. I know this was true for President Clinton. It was the one chance he had to speak to 40, 50 million Americans, direct, straight on, no intermediation, no filter by the press, no starkiness, no Christy Harvey. He just gets to kind of look him in the proverbial eyeball through the television screen and tell him what he's thinking about the country and where he wants to go and where he wants to take the country. Now, as I said, I think that when you're sitting with depending on which poll you read this week, in the low 20s or high 30s of a job approval rating, that's a tall order because the public is skeptical about what he has to say about the direction he wants to set. But still, it's an important opportunity that he doesn't usually get. Normally, everything is filtered either on the front page of daily newspapers or through cable television or through sound bites on broadcast television or over the internet. This is one of the rare occasions where he's got a large audience and they can hear directly from him. And if he has the capacity to tell a story about what he wants to do in the last 2 years of his presidency, given his lame duck status, he still wants to get some things done. He's got the chance to do that.
These are insights from John Podesta, head of the Center for American Progress. And coming up next, have you ever stopped to wonder how the State of the Union tonight would change if we had a progressive president at the podium? Well, we did. Now we know. And we'll tell you next on Mic Check Radio's State of the Union pregame show from the Center for American Progress.
You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
What if every child was prepared to succeed in the 21st century economy? What if our tax code rewarded hard work? This is John Podesta, and asking and answering the question, what if, is what we do at the Center for American Progress. With new ideas, daily publications, and outreach programs like Campus Progress, the Center for American Progress is changing the topics of American conversation and pushing back on the right wing. We need your help. Join the progressive movement. Add to the collective genius at AmericanProgress.org.
Are you always searching the internets for the latest political news? Do you find yourself using the Google in a vain quest for hard-hitting facts? Well, stop searching and go straight to thinkprogress.org, the research blog of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Thinkprogress.org has got the latest political stories, video clips, and hard-hitting analysis that pushes back on the right-wing spin. Bill O'Reilly calls it a very well-oiled, effective character assassination machine, so you know it must be good. Get up to speed on the news you need. Go to thinkprogress.org, the cutting edge in progressive thought.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market.
So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. Sunday morning at 10 Pacific, join Glenn Plantone, our own Indiana Jones. He'll be our guest on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate. Glenn is a real estate investor who knows how to buy ahead of the curve with hot spots and great opportunities in North and South Carolina, as well as Costa Rica. Can you say mucho gusto? Give him a call at 702-769-9872. That's 702-769-9872. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, Sunday morning at 10 Pacific, right here.
Are you tired of hearing no when applying for a home loan? Is your credit shot due to late payments, bankruptcy, or recent foreclosure? Do you need help purchasing a home or refinancing your existing home? Well, now there is help every Saturday and Sunday morning from 7 to 8 here on KRXA 540 AM. Listen live to national radio host Ken Michaels of Mortgage Makeovers as he doles out simple answers in plain English to your mortgage and finance questions.
Taking a look at your Central Coast traffic, we have a vehicle on fire in San Martin. This is northbound 101 on the San Martin Avenue off-ramp. It's a minivan with flames coming from its engine, so fire department en route to check out on that. Again, it's a San Martin off-ramp from northbound 101. Gilroy Rucker Avenue at Foothill Avenue. We have an accident there. It's actually a bus that spun out and hit the guardrail, so CHP on scene and got a tow truck en route for that. Santa Cruz Mountains, both directions of Highway 17, checking in, stall, and accident-free. Also in Santa Cruz, northbound Highway 1, the Emmeline Avenue off-ramp is closed for long-term road work, which is scheduled to continue through December of this year. This report brought to you by McDonald's. Start your day with a dollar menu at McDonald's, now open at 5 a.m. For breakfast, get the sausage McGriddles, and for lunch or dinner, get a double cheeseburger. Prices and participation may vary. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540.
Does that mean Lindsay Lohan's going to be delivering it?
I really hope so.
Barring that, if we had a progressive president, I think one of the biggest differences would be Iraq. Instead of talking about escalation, a progressive president would be talking about how we bring our troops home. And a progressive president will be talking about strategic redeployment, a plan here put forth by the center on how within 18 months we can bring our troops home, but also focusing on the diplomatic efforts within the region, talking to people like Iran and Syria, which the president has already said he doesn't want to do, and bringing the regional partners to help bring stability to that area. I think another thing that we would talk about is stem cells. I'm pretty sure he won't be talking about that tonight, but a progressive president would be talking about how he would sign the bills that have been passed by the House and will be passed by the Senate into law. I think another area that we would talk about is the economy. He will talk about how his tax cuts have been working, but a progressive president would talk about something that people really aren't focusing on, which is a growing gap between the rich and the poor and how the middle class have been suffering under this president. So a progressive president will look to ways to help strengthen the middle class and help reduce some of that that tax burden that the lower class are feeling. The environment, I know that President Bush has said he's going to be talking about energy, and maybe he'll discover that climate change does exist. But a progressive president would actually put forth real policies and real change to help our problem with the environment and also help us kick our addiction to oil. I almost fell off my chair last year when President Bush said that. 5 years in office, he realizes that we're addicted to oil. Hello, you're our dealer. and finally, I think healthcare. It's absolutely outrageous that in this country we have 46 million Americans who do not have health insurance, and a progressive president would put forth a real plan that doesn't raise taxes on millions of Americans to help address that problem.
John, do you think she hit them, or are you still waiting for him to expand more on his theory about the human-beast hybrids that he brought up last year?
Well, maybe we'll go to Mars again. I don't know. I was thinking as Daniela was talking, what if the president was really gracious tonight and said, I'm just going to, reserve my time and give it to you, Speaker Pelosi. I'll sit behind you, and why don't you talk to the American people tonight for 45 minutes or an hour? And I think what you saw coming out of the Democratic House in the last couple of weeks, the first 100 hours, is I think, what a progressive president would be talking about, lowering the cost of college, raising the minimum wage, lowering the price of prescription drugs. implementing the 9/11 Commission recommendations. That's the kind of bread and butter stuff about how to make government work, not to look back on the kind of government that imploded under President Bush with Katrina or Iraq or the other examples where he just couldn't get the job done. But how do you make the government work for real people in their everyday lives? How do you build an opportunity society in this country? And I think if he did hand the microphone over to the speaker, that's what you'd talk about.
Well, here's the deal. For all of you who plan to play a drinking game during the State of the Union, if he turns around and hands the mic to Nancy Pelosi, drink what you got and break into the spare liquor cabinet.
You got to finish the keg, Christy.
Well, speaking of drinking games, the one that we saw going around said that you have to take 3 drinks every time half of the Congress stands up to applaud and the other Congress sits there very sternly sitting on their hands. Danielle, how drunk do you think people are going to get tonight?
Oh, people have to get their designated drivers ready. They're going to be wasted.
So do you really think that the Democrats will have to sit there and they won't be showing their love for a lot of these plans?
Well, the optimistic side of me says that, well, maybe President Bush will actually put forth some bipartisan ideas tonight, but realistically...
You're so sweet when you're idealistic.
I know, it doesn't come out very often, but realistically, I don't think so. I think he's going to play to his base, because right now he's in such trouble, he's got to try and shore up the base, which is leaving him rapidly.
All right, guys, last question, and arguably the most important one. What color tie is the president going to wear tonight?
You want me to go first?
You
go for
first.
It, John.
Look, I've been thinking about this, and it seems to me that the president's been watching his poll ratings go down, 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 and he's been watching the new rock star of politics, Barack Obama's ratings go up, 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 and all the press attention. So I think he's going open collar tonight.
Open collar.
John Podesta, that is bold.
You guys,
that
heard
is bold.
It first.
You heard it here first. Thanks to John Podesta and Daniela Legere for joining us tonight. And next up, we'll be talking to Lawrence Korb, the smartest guy you will ever hear from on a rock. This is Christy Harvey with Mic Check Radio pregame show.
Are you always searching the internets for the latest political news? Do you find yourself using the Google in a vain quest for hard-hitting facts? Well, stop searching and go straight to thinkprogress.org, the research blog of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. Thinkprogress.org has got the latest political stories, video clips, and hard-hitting analysis that pushes back on the right-wing spin. Bill O'Reilly calls it a very well-oiled, effective character assassination machine, so you know it must be good. Get up to speed on the news you need. Go to thinkprogress.org, the cutting edge in progressive thought.
Bill Press, Christy Harvey, and Grant Ginder all know something you don't. They know the latest on the Justin Cameron breakup, and they know what Tony Snow said at the White House yesterday. Where did they get all of this news, entertainment, and politics? MikeCheckRadio.org, your free daily radio prep sheet. MikeCheckRadio.org basically is everything you need to know all in one place. So if you want to be at the head of your class, go to MikeCheckRadio.org and get your daily dose of paparazzi politics.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
One Day Income Tax Service, family owned and operated since 1944, specializes in year-round professional tax preparation. Do you want your refund quickly? Stop by One Day Income Tax Service. They offer tax preparation at reasonable rates and work to meet the needs of military families with the capacity to process all out-of-state returns. If you prefer to prepare your own return at home, they can help you expedite your refund by filing your return electronically. Let One Day Income Tax Service assist you with your return and maximize your refund. Stop by 885 Broadway Avenue in Seaside, where no appointment is necessary. Looking for quick, professional, and reasonable tax return preparation? Visit One Day Income Tax Service, 885 Broadway Avenue, Seaside, or call 394-8010. That's 831-394-8010. One Day Income Tax Service, where you walk in with a copy of your most recent tax return, personal ID, and W-2 1099 info for 2006, and you walk out with your completed tax return.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Billy Sunshine Show.
Billy Sunshine Show.
With P-Lar. With P-Lar.
Sunday at 3 o'clock, we're going to be doing something new, something different, or we'll do the same old thing, take your phone calls. One thing we know for sure, I'll have something to say. What? I don't know. I never know until I've said it. Find out what's the next thing to come out of my mouth.
The Billy Sunshine Show with P-Lar.
Sundays from 3 to 5. 3 to 5.
On AM 540. KRXA.
The Center for American Progress Action Fund State of the Union pregame show. It's, of course, brought to you by MikeCheckRadio.org, your spot for paparazzi politics. I'm your host, Christy Harvey, and with me is Grant Gender. And tonight we're broadcasting in front of a live studio audience. Very excited group. And we are just two blocks away from the White House, so we basically have front row seats for tonight's State of the Union speech. That's actually up on the Hill, but we're close enough. And talking to us now, we have senior fellow and resident smart guy, Larry Korb. Larry Korb is basically the go-to guy anytime you're trying to understand the ins, the outs, the whats, the why nots of national security. And basically, that's my first question for you, Larry. What is the state of national security today?
The state of national security is not very good. Our soft power, our ability to get other countries to follow us has never been lower. BBC just released a poll today that showed in 25 countries around the world, including some of our closest allies, 75% of the people do not have a high opinion of the United States and its ability to make the right decisions. Our hard power, our military power is in very bad shape. We're bogged down in Iraq. Our ground forces are overextended, growing weaker by the day. Our troops don't have enough equipment to train on. So both our hard and soft power are not in very, very good shape.
What happened? We used to be the guys in the White Hats. We used to be the guys who, when you called in the cavalry, we were the ones who came in. How did we lose all of that, do you think?
Well, what happened is we basically thought that there were no limits to American power, and that with American exceptionalism, people would follow us because regardless of what we did, they had to assume we were doing it for the good of all mankind. And so we got ourselves bogged down in Iraq, a place where our military is at a distinct disadvantage, and the enemy has been bleeding us, not only, the Iraq, but Iran has taken advantage of the situation as well.
So, Larry, going off of that, I mean, obviously the Iraq war is horrible. The situation over there, completely awful. This past weekend was the third deadliest weekend our troops have had since the war started. Yet leading up to the speech tonight, all the president and his advisors have been talking about have been the domestic agenda. So do you think they're avoiding things by doing that?
Well, I think it's a combination of things. One, the president did give that speech 2 weeks ago in which he laid out his new plan for Iraq, which is really stay the course plus a little bit is what it really is. And he is going to focus more on domestic issues because the opinion polls show that the majority, the two-thirds of the American people rejected the policy that he gave when he announced it 2 weeks ago.
Well, that's one of my other questions is, you know, there's what they keep saying they're not going to run a war based on the polls. But there's a fine distinction between running a war based on the polls and just completely shutting out what your generals want and what the people want. And we saw this weekend what the Prime Minister of Iraq wants. How do you think he's going to continue to justify being absolutely oblivious to what everyone's saying, telling him, and advising, and going forward with the G.W. Bush plan, which we see where that's led us?
Well, he's going to try and turn this weakness that you point out into strength by saying, see, I'm not going to be captive to public opinion. I'm not going to, cave in when the going gets rough. And the other thing he will try and do tonight, I'm sure, is say that if you, quote-unquote, fail in Iraq, that you'll undermine America's ability to win the war on terror, that this is the central front, if we don't prevail there, that they will be over here, attacking us in the next day. In fact, I'm sure he'll use this line, which he has several times, is we're staying on the offensive in Iraq and Afghanistan, and that's why we haven't been attacked since 9-1-1.
It's all part of his. He's had this big strategy where it seems every time you criticize the war in any way, you're helping the terrorists. You hate freedom. And we saw Vice President Cheney was on Fox News Sunday, not this past weekend, but the one before. And he said that if Congress votes on a resolution to oppose the new escalation, it's basically giving into exactly what Osama bin Laden wants.
Yeah, and I thought it was interesting that Prime Minister Maliki of Iraq said when Condi Rice told him he wasn't doing a good job, that she was aiding the terrorists. So evidently he's learned something from our political leaders. Look, the great strength of our country is the willingness to debate these issues. And to the extent that you don't debate these issues, you don't get the policy right. But more than that, you can't fight a war of choice. And this is what this war is without the support of the American people. They have to send their sons and daughters, husbands and wives, and their hard-earned tax dollars. And if you can't convince them, you can't persist in this policy. And more importantly, you're liable to bring about an outbreak of isolationism where the American people get so turned off by the whole misadventure in Iraq that they're not going to support you when there are genuine security threats.
So, Larry, whenever faced with opposition, every single White House talking head always says, at least it's a plan. The progressives are criticized, for not having a plan. They say, they attack, they don't actually have a plan. But that's not true, is it? Progressives do have a plan.
Well, progressives have a plan. Congressman Murtha has a plan. Senator Biden has a plan. What they say, they don't like the plans. I mean, it's basically what it amounts to. Back in September 2005, Brian Katulis, or my colleague, in the National Security Program, and I put out a plan called Strategic Redeployment, which basically said the United States had to set a date certain to get out. And once we did that, that would be the best incentive for the Iraqis basically to get their act together to make the painful political compromises which are necessary to stop the civil war. And also would get the countries in the region concerned, because once it's clear we were leaving at a date certain, the problem would not just be ours, it would be theirs. And even a country like Iran doesn't want to see Iraq become a failed state where there'd be millions of refugees coming into their country, or a haven for al-Qaeda. Remember, al-Qaeda is a Sunni group. They don't like Shias like you have in Iran.
Last question for you tonight, Larry. We've been trying to figure out what color tie the president's going to wear. John Podesta skipped the question altogether. I'm not quite sure if I'm going to take this as a valid answer. He's going for open collar. So my question to you is, Nancy Pelosi, what color suit's going to say power suit? I'm the first woman to sit behind the president of the United States at State of the Union.
Nancy or the president?
Nancy.
Oh.
Nancy.
I think she'll wear a suit that'll be this color.
Pinstripe, nice and understated,
yes,
and classic.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Larry Korb from the Center for American Progress.
Thank you.
So we know that President Bush has tried to avoid talking about Iraq, trying to keep it off the front page. He's trying to distract us with his newfound love of a domestic agenda. So we say, okay, You can bring it on. We've got Anna Unruh-Cohen and Dan Restrepo from the Center for American Progress coming up to tell us exactly what he's going to say and what you should know. This is Christy Harvey with Mic Check Radio, State of the Union pre-show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Bill Press, Christy Harvey, and Grant Gender all know something you don't. They know the latest on the Justin Cameron breakup, and they know what Tony Snow said at the White House yesterday. Where did they get all of this news, entertainment, and politics? MikeCheckRadio.org, your free daily radio prep sheet. MikeCheckRadio.org basically is everything you need to know all in one place. So if you want to be at the head of your class, go to MikeCheckRadio.org and get your daily dose of paparazzi politics.
Are you always searching the internets for the latest political news? Do you find yourself using the Google in a vain quest for hard-hitting facts? Well, stop searching and go straight to ThinkProgress.org, the research blog of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. ThinkProgress.org has got the latest political stories, video clips, and hard-hitting analysis that pushes back on the right-wing spin. Bill O'Reilly calls it a very well-oiled, effective character assassination machine, so you know it must be good. Get up to speed on the news you need. Go to thinkprogress.org, cutting edge in progressive thought.
This is Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunedarealestate.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Just one accident to tell you at for your final look at Central Coast traffic. It's in Gilroy, Rucker Avenue at Foothill Avenue. A bus actually spun out and hit the guardrail, so CHP is on scene working to clear that out, and we also have a flatbed tow truck en route. Some road work to be aware of in Santa Cruz. Northbound Highway 1, the Emmaline Avenue off-ramp is actually closed for long-term road work. This is scheduled to continue through December of this year, so a suggested alternate for you is Brancaforte Avenue. You are going to see some sluggish traffic today this afternoon. Southbound Highway 1 between Monterey and Carmel. Also pretty slow eastbound 25 out of Gilroy and into Hollister. This report is brought to you by Office Depot. Office Depot has over 500 ink, toner, and fax supplies in-store and thousands more online at unbeatable prices. Office Depot, taking care of business. I'm Diane with traffic on KRXA 540. Hey, welcome back to the Center for American Progress Action Fund State of the Union pre-game show. Brought to you by MikeCheckRadio.org. I'm your host, Christy Harvey. With me, as always, is my political partner in crime, Grant Gender.
And tonight, we're, of course, broadcasting in front of a live studio audience just two blocks left of the White House. Well, basically, your all-access pass to everything State of the Union. And President Bush has tried to distract us a little bit from the brutal debacle that has become the Iraq War, and instead is shaking something shiny over in the corner saying, look, I've got domestic ideas. So we're going to find out if we should actually look and be distracted by that, or if we should stay focused, or if he's even meaning what he's saying. So with us now, we've got the queen of all things green, Ms. Anna Unruh Cohen, who is with the Center for American Progress and works on environmental and energy issues. And we also have the director of the Americas Project. Notice that that was plural Americas, Dan Restrepo. Hey, guys, thanks for coming in.
Good to be with you.
Us.
So my first question tonight, what do you expect to hear, Anna? What is he going to say about energy, about the environment? Is he going to come out and say, I was kidding, guys, there is global warming, let's all fix it now, or am I being an idealist again?
Well, Christy, I think it's clear that on the same day that Melissa Etheridge got an Oscar nod for her song, I Need to Wake Up, for the inconvenient truth that the president has taken an Ambien on the issue of global warming.
So nothing new?
Well, it'll be new that he'll mention climate change, but again, a lot of rhetoric and without much results is what we've seen in all the State of the Unions. So for Bush, renewable resources, talking about energy in the State of the Union.
And Dan, for you, for the first 6 years of this presidency, President Bush was basically a no-show on any real action to take steps on immigration policy. How is tonight going to be different? How is he going to revolutionize immigration in America with his speech later?
By saying the same thing he said four times. He's going to give the same portion of the State of the Union address he's given for the last 4 years. The real question will be if he does anything about it. As you mentioned, he's talked the talk on immigration reform, but he's been a no-show when it really came to it, and his ideological colleagues in Congress have been standing in the way of meaningful immigration reform for six years now. And the real question is whether the president will do anything about it.
So we know he hasn't done anything about it in the past. He probably doesn't mean to do anything about it in the near future. Why talk about it?
Well, he's trying to avoid talking about Iraq, so it gives him another topic.
Got it. Forgot about that
and
already.
And he's looking for a legacy, again, that isn't Iraq. And immigration reform is something that he may actually believe in, which is odd to think that there's things that he believes in that make sense. And it comes from his being a border state governor. But again, he's had the right idea for a while, most of the right idea. There's some things that are wrong about what he's going to propose tonight. But he's up against the troglodytes in his own party who just don't want to see this problem resolved.
2 extra points for use of the word troglodytes.
Seriously, thumbs up, Dan. Anna, throwing it back to you, we got our hands on some leaked reports that say President Bush is going to call for Americans to cut gasoline consumption by up to 20% by the year 2017.
And by got our hands on leaked reports, we read it in the New York Times about an hour ago.
Shh, Christy, trying to look good, Christy and I, we've been trying to kick our oil habit here for a while, and it's a heck of a lot easier said than done. What can the president do to make this a reality? Do you think it is a reality?
Well, what the reality is that we need to kick our oil habit. And the president had it right last year when he said we are addicted to oil and then did almost nothing. So, again, as Dan said, he's revisiting his talking points. We're going to hear more talk about renewable fuels. We're going to hear more talk about increasing efficiency. And he's going to say, let's do mandatory programs, but no mandatory program for taking on climate change. And the type of mischievous things he's doing with the CAFE standards, with the renewable fuels, it's just going to lead us further down in the climate crisis. What we're going to see with his new renewable fuel standard is turning dirty fossil fuel coal into liquids and a lot more carbon dioxide emissions.
Okay, Dan, it's 20 minutes from now. You're kicked back. You got a beer. You're watching the State of the Union. What would make you actually drop that beer on the ground and yell, oh, my God, he's got it, if the president were actually to make a statement on immigration policy?
It would be calling out his own party, calling out the folks who have taken this isolationist, nativist approach to the issue.
Ooh, by name, too.
And say, go ahead and call Tom Tancredo out by name.
I was thinking that.
Call James Sensenbrenner out by name. Call them out by name and say that this is it's downright un-American to take the position that you've been taking. It makes the country less secure to take the position you've been taking. It makes our economy more inefficient. It harms the United States in innumerable ways to take this absurd position, and you must stop now.
Okay, the drinking game. We've been talking about the drinking game that everyone is probably going to be playing, not us, of course, but probably playing during State of the Union.
Who says we haven't started?
Anna, what color tie do you think that the president will be wearing? What do you think deserves a good five drinks?
Well, I'm going to go out on a limb here and think that President Bush was paying attention in this last election and saw how taking on green issues really resuscitated the governor's campaign out in California. So I'm going with green tie.
I like it. Very bold. Dan?
I'm going to go with green, red, and white, the colors of the Mexican flag.
Oh, that would send quite the message. Okay, thank you, Dan. Thank you, Anna. This is Christy Harvey and Grant Ginder with Mic Check Radio, your State of the Union place to be. Stick around. We've got a lot more pregame show coming up.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Bill Press, Christy Harvey, and Grant Ginder all know something you don't. They know the latest on the Justin Cameron breakup, and they know what Tony Snow said at the White House yesterday. Where did they get all of this news, entertainment, and politics? MikeCheckRadio.org, your free daily radio prep sheet. MikeCheckRadio.org basically is everything you need to know all in one place. So if you want to be at the head of your class, go to MikeCheckRadio.org and get your daily dose of paparazzi politics.
Are you always searching the internets for the latest political news? Do you find yourself using the Google in a vain quest for hard-hitting facts? Well, stop searching and go straight to ThinkProgress.org, the research blog of the Center for American Progress Action Fund. ThinkProgress.org has got the latest political stories, video clips, and hard-hitting analysis that pushes back on the right-wing spin. Bill O'Reilly calls it a very well-oiled, effective character assassination machine, so you know it must be good. Get up to speed on the news you need. Go to thinkprogress.org, cutting edge in progressive thought.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones, everything so tasty you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus too. A side of couscous and a Baba Ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
And we're back with the Center for American Progress Action Fund State of the Union pregame show. I'm Christy Harvey with MikeCheckRadio.org. I'm here with the assistant editor of Mike Check Radio, Grant Ginder. And right now we are talking to Winnie Sackelberg, who is here with us. She's with the Center for American Progress. And she knows, she's basically all day been listening to what's going on the Hill, trying to figure out the mood, the tone, the inside scoop, all the good stuff. So thanks for joining us, Winnie.
It is my pleasure to be here.
So what's the tone on the Hill? Is everybody nervous, freaking out, bored?
Well, I know it's a big surprise, but the Republicans are not so excited, and the Democrats are very excited. You know, it's going to be this kind of muted sense over on the left side of the chamber and just sort of excitement over there on the right side with the Democrats. Very, very interesting as it's a turn of events. I think one of the things to really note for sure is the interplay between Dick Cheney and Nancy Pelosi as they stare down the president from above.
Well, especially since Dick Cheney is not having a good week. This is just added insult to injury. I heard that you were saying over the break that all of the excitement may have led to a wardrobe malfunction.
A wardrobe malfunction. Watch closely. But what we've heard has happened is that Nancy Pelosi is wearing wardrobe number 2. Apparently this morning for breakfast, while some of you were eating Wheaties and others were eating oatmeal, she was eating chocolate ice cream.
That's my kind of woman.
There you go. And she dribbled chocolate ice cream on her first choice suit, and she's wearing her second choice suit.
Is there any word on what the second choice suit will look like?
Well, insiders say it's a seafoam green, but you'll have to wait until the live coverage.
When you move it over to a different piece of gossip, we heard that that Fenty, D.C.'s new mayor, was invited to sit in the box with Laura Bush for the speech, but he actually dissed the president and turned it down. Have you heard this?
You know, you got to have like a long dance card to say no to the president of the United States. And what he's done instead is he said yes to Nancy Pelosi. So he is actually a guest of Mrs. Pelosi's. And I think what's really interesting is apparently in his campaign for mayor of D.C., he actually made a pledge that he would not sit in the president's box. Now, like, is that the first time a campaign pledge is ever included? I won't sit in the president's box if elected.
That seems a little bit, you know, like he assumed that he'd be invited in the first place. That seems a little bit beyond himself, I would think.
Exactly. Also joining Nancy Pelosi, our newly elected governor, Martin O'Malley.
Very interesting. Well, we've got the president coming out and speaking in just a few minutes. We've got the members of Congress already hitting the Hill. We've got Nancy Pelosi, Dick Cheney on the television screens. But you know what? We're not finished yet. Stick around. We'll be back in 60 seconds with a last wrap-up before this year's State of the Union. I'm Christy Harvey with Mike Check Radio.
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The much-anticipated State of the Union speech is about to begin. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports.
Above all else, President Bush will defend his plan to send more troops to Iraq. He'll call it the best chance for success. He'll urge Congress to show the U.S. is united in the goal of victory. But the issue won't monopolize his speech. He'll offer a number of domestic initiatives. He still believes America is addicted to oil, and he'll put forward a plan to cut consumption of gasoline by 20% over 10 years. We'll hear him address the health care problem, offering a program to help low-income Americans buy health insurance, though some with very good plans will be taxed. Mark Knoller, CBS News. The White House.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. The House chamber is filled to overflowing as always, but it's not the friendly audience President Bush is used to. It's a Democratic Congress that opposes the president on many issues, most especially Iraq. He's in a difficult position, defending a very unpopular war and an even more unpopular decision to send more troops there. His proposals on energy, immigration, and health in some ways are designed to reach out to Democrats, but initial response from the new majority party has been cool.
A guest in the chamber invited by Senator Hillary Clinton is the son of a New York City police officer who was stricken with respiratory problems after working at Ground Zero. 21-year-old Cesar Borgia Jr. got a phone call just a short time ago. His 52-year-old father has died. Mr. Bush will make another pitch for immigration reform tonight. In the Los Angeles area, there's been a large-scale roundup of illegals over the past few days.
It's the largest enforcement operation under Operation Return to Center, which was kicked off in June of last year.
Jim Hayes heads the L.A. field office of ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Most of those arrested are described as illegals who'd previously been deported after committing crimes. Sean Hornbeck, the Missouri boy who was kidnapped and held more than 4 years, was an unwilling accomplice in the recent abduction of 13-year-old Ben Ownby. Kara Caswell, CBS television affiliate KMOV, quotes authorities close to the case as saying kidnapped suspect Michael Devlin somehow compelled Hornbeck to help him.
Police speculate that in Devlin's eyes, at the age of 15, which is where Sean is now, he was getting too old, and the thought by some in the police